Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Mom is with us. She puts her hand up. You let her in. She's a little tired today. Lots of yard work going on.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, lots of yard work going on. It looks beautiful. Hi, good afternoon. But of course, I overdid it, which it's springtime. I have spring fever. Some of you will be able to relate, I'm sure, about, you know, you just, once you get started, you get out in the sun finally after the winter that we've had. Oh, and by the way, just for the record, for the non-climate activist folks that listen to this show, none of us believed all this cloud seeding business. None of us believed that stuff. We just thought y'all were crazy and making up stuff with the chemtrails and the blah, 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 blah stuff. Let me just tell you something. I absolutely 100% believe that conspiracy theory now. And it just keeps, they just keep coming true over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Dubai got record-breaking, and that's the problem, is that the solution always causes way more problems, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Dubai ended up almost floating away, and this is a desert, okay?
Yeah.
The clouds were so thick with rain from cloud seeding, they were green.
Mm.
Green clouds are not good.
Hmm. No.
Anyway.
Right. Well, and they admit it. It's really weird that people have this, like, you know, this blank when it comes to that, to this particular conspiracy theory. I guess most conspiracy theories, but this one, it's like when the climate change alarmists are actually admitting to it, you can't just tuck your head in the sand and say,
nope,
it's not happening. They're admitting to it.
You know what was kind of spooky, and what was one of the things that actually got me to go, oh my God, they really are doing it. Tucker Carlson had a guy on his show, which, by the way, the interview was great. I liked the guy. I liked the guy's concepts, his ideas, and he says, and you know, a bunch of us young Turks are getting together, and you know, we want to stop all this hating on everybody for, anyway, it was a really great letter, a great essay that he wrote, and Tucker highlighted it, and he goes, yeah, and we're just doing all kinds of stuff, you know, like my buddy in San Francisco just did some cloud seeding, and I'm like, oh my God. He admitted it.
Yeah.
He goes, we want to take care of the drought. I'm like, yeah, y'all did that, okay, but the problem is those of us that can't get up to higher ground, as they say, have to deal with your cockamamie schemes and the fallout.
Right.
Okay?
And then they blame climate change. You sea level rise. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And that's the problem. Okay. So they can't control nature as much as they would like to play God. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they do these wacky solutions, which, I mean, the idea, I suppose, California is a drought-ridden state, and the problem isn't so much, you know, these last few years. It's now, even though they make all these beautiful cloudbursts, LOL, they don't store the frickin' water.
No, they just let it run right into the ocean.
Well, yes.
Which is bad for the environment, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I know it is. Off of my backyard. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Taking a lot of my backyard with it. Anyway, they're,
yeah,
a bunch of idiots, and I didn't necessarily want to start the good news report like that, other than the fact that, you know, it's apparent that we can stop calling them conspiracy theories now. Okay,
yeah,
we can stop calling them that. They're all true. We're batting 1,000.
Yes.
On all the things that we said, hey, we think this is happening. Oh, you liar, conspiracy theory, you're crazy, whack job.
Nut job,
racist,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Nut job,
racist.
Racist
against the against the weather. And of course, you know, there's there's no trees planted in the inner city, so it's hotter in poor places, and I'm just
okay. Get off your freaking platform and go plant 6 trees. It doesn't take nothing to plant a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You could just go. You can go dig a tree up from somewhere. You don't have to even buy it. Just go dig it up. I got a couple right out here in my yard. You can come have them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my good news report is there's a lot of good stuff, but last week was a rough week for what I consider the home team, okay, the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
It came very, very clear that, oh, wait, another one of those conspiracy theories is absolutely true. That's why I started this. That we don't have a Republican Party. So all those people that are freaking out about they're going to all kill y'all, it's not true. They're on your side. They're on each other's side. We don't have a right and a left anymore. We don't have Republicans and Democrats anymore. We have something called a uniparty that doesn't care what we think, that doesn't believe what we believe, either side. Okay, y'all can think your side believes in you. They don't. They care about lining their pockets, and this one's probably going to be a little difficult to swallow. They want to kill us. They think we're taking up too much resources, and they want to downsize the population, and they're doing everything they can possibly do to do that. That's my belief, So I have a clip, Danielle, why can't I send this to you? I want to send this to you. It's PBD. It's, hold on, maybe I can. Why can't I send it to you? Forward. Here we go. I'm putting it in the Danielle Ice folder. I want you to play it.
Okay.
I want you to play it first. This is how I'm feeling this week, even though I'm supposed to be jolly with the good news. It is now in your folder.
Okay, I got it. So here we go. 3, 2, 1.
So today, after cuckboy Mike Johnson sold out on his promise to secure the border.
Is that volume okay? Should I turn it down a little bit? Yeah, but is the volume okay?
Turn it up a little bit, actually.
Okay, here we go.
Order before giving Ukraine any more funding. He gave them over $60 billion, Israel $26 billion, and Taiwan $8 billion while illegals continue to flood into our country without end. And because of this, January 6th resonates with me today more than ever before. It stands as a glaring testament to why agencies like the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security conveniently overlooked intelligence that foretold the chaos of that day. It explains why individuals such as Ray Epps, the non-FBI asset, incited a riot but was only charged with a misdemeanor. This day also illuminates why for the past 3 years, the Department of Justice has relentlessly pursued anyone who was present at or even near the Capitol aiming to incarcerate them. The reason? Corrupt and evil politicians who betray us daily fear our presence in Washington, protesting their deceit and manipulation. They seed fear in our hearts, hoping it'll paralyze us, allowing them to further dismantle this country while we remain as spectators watching helplessly as it crumbles. So after the events of today, it is more obvious than ever that there is no difference between the Republican and Democratic parties. There is no left. There is no right. There's only the uniparty and this united desire to rob our country blind. All I can say is thank God our founding fathers gave us the First and Second Amendments. It's us against them. And while they take our $95 billion, they can have these as well. I'm out.
Wow.
So today,
Sorry.
That's okay.
Wow.
That's how I feel today. That's how I feel today, and that's how I felt all week this week, and there was a lot of good news, lots and lots, and I'm going to go over it today, but I was so pissed off. I was so angry. These people don't care about us or what we think or what we want, and Speaker Mike Johnson supposedly was going to be the good guy, right? And, you know, he's a Christian and people were like, okay, we're going to get a good guy. And he said right on the you know, when he went to go for the speakership, he said, these are the things that I'm going to do. He has turned around and done the exact opposite, and we got hosed again.
Yep.
He said, no more funding for Ukraine, and no more funding. And here's the thing. I know, here we go, it was tied to the, quote-unquote, Israel funding. I'm done funding them, too, okay? I'm done funding them.
Yay.
We've given them
enough. Now, that's
the best
news I have heard all week.
Okay, well, so here's the thing, and I don't mind funding Israel. I never have, okay? But don't tie it. Don't strangle us, okay? Talk to me about what Israel needs, okay? Tell me what this money's going for. I want to know. What's it going for in Ukraine? What's it going for in Israel? What are we doing with it, okay? Mm-hmm. We can't even make our quotas to get to get enough military men that want to sign up because they've ruined the freaking military. They've ruined everything they touch.
Yes.
And then on top of everything else, they re-upped the 702.
Yeah.
So those two things combined, what Patrick Bet-David said just now, and at the end he did double birds. He goes, they can have these, okay? He did double birds because that's the way we feel.
Yes.
And even Senator Rand Paul, who I admire greatly, said, told Trump publicly, you need to stop supporting Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anyway, so I'm starting off kind of having a bit of a rough one, but we got a lot of good news this week. The U.S. Supreme Court of rules Idaho can enforce ban on sex changes for children. Healthcare
nice.
Professionals can face up to 10 years in prison for mutilating kids. So this was, again, the Gateway Pundit. Now, keep in mind, just a disclaimer as a start. Here's the thing. If you want to be transgender, I want you to be transgender. Help yourself. Put on makeup. Cut off the weenie. Cut off the boobies. Do whatever you got to do. Help yourself. If that is what you think you need to do to be happy, I want you to be happy, and I want you to, you know, cut off whatever body parts and change whatever body parts you want to change. Go ahead and do that. Leave the children alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
The U.S. Supreme Court.
I agree
go ahead.
With you on that, except for to the, you know, it's celebrating a mental illness. It's like, I don't think that there's a doctor in the country that if somebody said, you know, I want to be blind and I want you to take out my eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly. Because here's the thing. Okay. When they do this surgery and administer these drugs, they lose their sex life. First of all, they can't have orgasms. They can't have natural pleasure. So they're already in pain and hurting, okay? And then they rob themselves of one of the greatest joys in life, which is sexual love and gratification, okay? And keeping in mind exactly what you just said, Danielle, these are people that are unbearably unhappy.
Yeah.
They're depressed. They're anxious. They're distressed. And we're going to feed into that? Okay. And we're going to continue feeding into that? What is this? Okay. So here we go. Then we get unhappy adults that are distressed, that have mental health issues, and they start manipulating children. Okay. So what is the one thing that we know about little kids?
They're impressionable.
They're very impressionable. And what else? How are they around adults?
Eager to please.
Eager to please. Okay. So if someone begins to manipulate them and begins to tell them that they are probably a boy, even if they're a girl, or they're probably a girl, even if they're a boy, they're gonna buy into that. And plus, then there's all this other, you know, flags and colors and rainbows and you know, mm-hmm. people celebrating, saying, "Yay, you're doing this thing, mm-hmm. and you're feeling this thing." Okay, all right.
And yeah, and celebrating them for being them, you know, like
beautiful uh-huh. child, happy. Playing marbles, jumping jumps, and biking bikes, and playing in the sun, and getting kissed by puppies. That's what kids are supposed to be doing. Okay. So, over the years, we've been inundated with, they will die. Okay, we're talking about 5 and 6 and 7-year-old kids. They're going to commit suicide if you don't let them have this thought and manifest this thought, okay, into a life-changing, life-altering set of procedures. And then when you ask them, is it safe, they say, bigot, transphobe. Okay.
Right.
They yell at you.
Not even loud.
They get really mad. They get really mad, really loud. Okay. So finally, people are starting to push back. Okay. So other countries have said, the UK has come out and said, this is dangerous. This is not good for these children. I forget the other countries. Sweden, other Western countries have said, we're going to stop doing this. But the United States is going to the mat. Okay. So the state of Idaho said, we're going to put a ban on sex changes for children. And, of course, the woke mob went after them. They fought. They took it to the Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday ruled that, this is the Gateway Pundit. The author is Christina Leyla, and it was from April 15th. Idaho can enforce its ban on sex changes for children. Healthcare professionals can face up to 10 years in prison for mutilating, which is exactly what they're doing, children, or providing puberty blockers to them. In December, Judge Lynn Windmill, a Clinton appointee, ruled that Idaho could not enforce the transgender ban. Okay, see, so again, we're back with the word play, okay? These are children. These are not transgenders. Stop labeling them. Only adults
right.
can be a transgender, okay? Transgender ban, while the lawsuit by two plaintiffs made its way through the courts, the U.S. Supreme Court, 6-3, granted an emergency request filed by the Idaho's Attorney General. Idaho previously enacted the Vulnerable Child Protection Act. Don't you love that? Should I read it again? Vulnerable Child Protection Act.
Yes.
Which protected children from dangerous puberty blockers and procedures that removed body parts. No shit. Far-left activists sued to stop Idaho from protecting children, so Idaho's Attorney General quickly acted and appealed to the Ninth Circuit. Of course, the Ninth Circuit. After the Ninth Circuit denied its request, the Attorney General's office appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court to allow the law. Oh, okay, I take that back. To allow the law to take effect while the case makes its way through the courts. The U.S. Supreme Court just ruled Idaho to enforce the Vulnerable Child Protection Act. A law that protects children from harmful and experimental drugs and procedures while the case proceeds at the Ninth Circuit. This is a big win to protect vulnerable kids. See,
yeah.
Because in
Mom,
this
I'm gonna
case,
let,
you can actually...
Kate's here. I'm going to let her in.
Okay.
Hello. Happy Sunday.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi,
happy
Kate.
Sunday to you. Hi.
Hi.
All right. Sorry, back to the good news. I just didn't want Kate to be left out there with her hand up.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
And we wanted to greet her accordingly and say we're happy she's here. So the law, like measures enacted by other states, prevents the use of what Windmill called generally accepted medical treatment. So this is how they have gotten away with this, because the medical profession, again, is disgracing itself, or shall I say still disgracing itself, and allowing these really, really, who knows, dangerous drugs to be administered to children. So I'm happy about that one. I think that's great news. I've got a lot of good stuff from they're going after the 19 generals, admirals, and who filed that brief back in 2020 to try to prevent the Hunter Biden laptop from okay, I'm going to skip that for a second because that isn't what I thought it was, and I want to make sure I get that right and say
no problem
it properly.
Just while you're gathering your stories, I just wanted to say hello
okay.
to the listener. We're glad you're here. Please press 1 if you want to be a part of the show. If not, then we're just glad you're with us.
Welcome. I hope you're enjoying the show. So we did have some big doings, and this has really big implications for people already in prison. They were sentenced to 20 years in federal prison under the J6 case. They have been convicting people under something called 1512C1 and 2. Okay. And this case has to do, pop quiz, ding, 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 Enron. Do you guys remember what happened with Enron?
I do, but it was under a very liberal mind frame that they, Enron was
they were bad because they were rich guys, right?
We're going to get the rich guys. And they were cheating the little guys, yeah.
Okay. So Enron, who knows if they were actually doing that? Go ahead, Kate. What do you know about Enron?
I just remember there was a documentary about it called The Smartest Guy in the Room or something like that.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
So Enron was pulling shenanigans. Very likely pulling a lot of shenanigans. Were they illegal shenanigans? They've gone back and forth on that. People got in big trouble. It was one of those howling cases where all the libs were howling over Enron. Enron, Enron, Enron. Did bad things. They're big, mean, corporate, greedy guys. Okay. Well, apparently there was this big document shredding extravaganza at Enron right before the folks came. Okay. So they shredded documents, and somewhere in the language after that, the Congress said you can't destroy evidence during an official proceeding. That's the basics, right? Well, they started charging J6, January 6th.
Defendants,
under this 15C2 15C1 and 2, okay? And all the judges have been giving people 20 years for interrupting an official proceeding and the destruction of the evidence. Supposedly are these the other slate of electors. Now, I have no idea how they made the stretch, and everyone has said they're making a big stretch to take the Enron case where they destroyed millions of documents related to a case that they were getting ready to get arrested for to coming into the Capitol. Don't ask, because I don't know. But here's the thing. It finally went to the Supreme Court this last week. And while Julie Kelly has said that the J6 Fisher's lawyer, the guy's name is Joseph Fisher, okay, and his one judge threw out the 15C1 and 2 out of his sentencing, and the DOJ took it to the Supreme Court because guess who else is charged? Pop quiz. Guess who else is charged with 15C1 and 1 and 2?
Oh, me. Pick me.
Okay, Danielle.
Donald Trump.
Yes.
Nah, I'm so good at this.
Ding, 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 ding. You win. Okay. So Jeffrey Green representing Joseph Fisher opens. Clarence Thomas asked the first question on how provisions C1 and C2 are related. Okay, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the idea was, and Gorsuch at the very middle of the questioning summed it all up. Because what the lawyer representing the Department of Justice was saying, well, when the Palestinian people, the Gaza people come in and protest during an official proceeding, that's okay. And when the climate change people come in and protest during an official proceeding, that's okay. And when they break into Judge Kavanaugh's hearing for his confirmation, that's okay too. But these people, it's not okay. So their entire argument is that when we do it, it's okay. When they do it, they should go to prison for 30 years. And Justice Gorsuch jumped right in the middle of that and said, what if someone stops a judicial hearing? Oh, well, we have to prove intent. So it went really well, and it looks like it's going to be either 6-3 or 5-2. They're going to throw out those two counts against Donald Trump, and a whole lot of J6 individuals are going to either be released from prison or resentenced, which is wonderful news as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see how that goes. Yay!
Wow.
We had a select committee hearing on the coronavirus pandemic this week. It went very well. They haven't stopped digging as much as I started off my good news report sounded like a sour grapes grandma. They are doing some work on the Hill, and a lot of it included, calling people to account, and the FBI in particular, and the CIA. So if you'll remember last week, Rand Paul released a bunch of evidence against our government. They knew all along that it came from the Wuhan lab, and they concealed it. Our government, right? The CIA and the FBI.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was also here. It was released in China, and it was released here at the same time.
I know it. And so we're still saying accidental lab leak, right? Okay, I can't wait for the day when we call it deliberate and that it's going to come out. Okay, so here we are with the desert metropolis underwater. A year's worth of rain causes massive flooding in Dubai. Cloud seeding operations was carried out in the last 24 hours. So why I'm calling this good news is because hopefully when rich folks end up getting really having, some real difficulty with it, they're going to make them stop, I hope. Let's see. So here we go. There's some really good news. Okay, where is it? I should have opened these. I'm sorry, before. I was sitting outside.
I know.
I'm tired.
I would like to comment on that Dubai thing for a second.
Please help yourself.
Do we know even what they were spraying? We know that they've been making it rain in Saudi Arabia for a long time.
That's the problem. Okay, so I can open that and let's see if they actually mention the chemical that they're cloud seeding with. That's a great question. It says unprecedented rainfall struck the heart of the United Arab Emirates on Tuesday, causing extensive flooding. You ought to see. Their airport is underwater, okay? Extensive flooding throughout Dubai. The technicolor, the fireworks, the lightning, amazing. Hitting all kinds of buildings, those tall buildings with the tips on them. The intense weather event, which delivered a year's worth of precipitation, and that's what they're doing to us here in California. It's not that it's raining. It's that it all comes at once, right?
Yeah.
A year's worth of precipitation in just a few hours resulted in the flood of major highways, residential areas, and even the tarmac of Dubai International Airport, pushing the bustling city-state to its limits. The torrential downpour also, this is from the Gateway Pundit, Jim Hoft, April 16th. The torrential downpour also affected neighboring Oman, resulting in 18 deaths. Oh my. The downpour resulted in over 120 millimeters, 4.75 inches of rain, overwhelming the city's infrastructure and leading to the abandonment of vehicles on flooded roads. The heavy rainfall also caused major disruptions, including Dubai International Airport, the world's second busiest airport, which was submerged underwater. Videos circulated online show large aircraft navigating through flooded runways. Okay, I'm going to keep going until we find out when they talk about the rains, the cloud seeding. The sudden onslaught of rain has sparked a debate on, this is why it's in my good news report, sparked a debate on social media with many users pointing fingers at the cloud seeding activities in Dubai. Robbie Starbuck highlighted the hazards of weather manipulation, stating that I've seen some blaming climate change when the cause is actually from the use of weather modification. Cloud seeding, where chemicals are sprayed, in clouds to create rain, caused this. We recently banned this practice in my home state of Tennessee. We had a story about that a few weeks ago. Anytime you modify the weather, you open yourself up to unintended consequences. Let's see if we get any. In response to the growing controversy, Gracia Middle East reached out to a meteorology expert from the NCM who confirmed that cloud seeding operations had indeed been carried out in the last 24 hours with six trips executed from Monday to Tuesday afternoon. The expert explained that these operations are standard whenever suitable clouds are present in the sky. I'm going to keep reading. I don't see what chemical they actually use. They don't.
Of course not.
The process, okay, here we go. Okay. They still don't even say. The process involves introducing substances into the clouds that encourage the growth of ice or water droplets, leading to precipitation. It still, throughout the entire article, does not say what kind of chemicals or quote-unquote substance they inject into the clouds. And, you know, they never do. Because, again, I've been a scoffer for a while. I'm not scoffing anymore. Let's see. I want to go to Pedogate, and before we move on, because I want to. That's really, really great news. The first one that I have is Bill Maher, and I would like for you to actually play this, Danielle. It's a great clip.
Okay, dokie.
I'm putting it in the Danielle folder. Ready when you are.
Okay. The Bill Maher.
Pedogate stuff. Yep, the Bill Maher that I just put there.
I'm finally new.
Okay, hold on.
I was one of the few people in the public eye who's gone through life and never.
Sorry, one sec. Okay.
It's okay.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
And finally, Newell, as one of the few people in the public eye who's gone through life and never had kids, someone has to tell me, why am I always having to defend them? I don't even like kids. But I also think it's every adult's job to protect them. Have you all been watching the Max documentary called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV? OMG. Nickelodeon, it wasn't a studio. It was Neverland Ranch with Craft Services. It is just scene after scene, clip after clip of the child stars of their day being subjected to obviously inappropriate, highly sexualized degradation, and quite a few pickles going through glory holes. I was grossed out, and I've gone camping with John Waters. I kid you, John. I love you. So I don't know if this documentary is the talk of your town, but it is out here because it didn't just expose a dangerous workplace. It also exposed hypocrisy. Because it must be pointed out that when the evil governor of Florida was saying the exact same thing about kids and creepy stuff at Disney that liberals now find intolerable at Nickelodeon, he was dismissed as a hick and a bigot. But why would a kids' content factory like Disney be all that different than the one at Nickelodeon? A 2014 CNN report discovered that at least 35 Disney employees had been arrested for sex crimes against children, and in 2021, Disney child star Alison Stoner confessed she only narrowly survived the toddler to train wreck pipeline. The next year, child star Cold Sprouse told the New York Times that young actresses at the Disney Channel were heavily sexualized from an early age. You know, Willie Sutton said he robbed banks because that's where the money is. And the reason we find pedophiles in the Boy Scouts and the rectory and kids' TV is that's where the kids are. DeSantis wasn't wrong, but we're so tribal now, the left will overlook child-fucking if the guy from the wrong party calls it out. Sure, Nickelodeon messed up Amanda Bynes, but the Mickey Mouse Club was where Britney Spears got her start, and she's perfectly fine. And get this, after Brian Peck, who was one of the lead creeps at Nickelodeon, served 16 months in prison for the molesting he did there, Disney hired him.
naturally to work on a children's series. Oh, for pedophiles in Hollywood, it's a small world after all. And not just Hollywood. There are Instagram moms these days who are practically only fansing their itty-bitty beauty queen daughters by having them wear skimpy bikinis and eat bananas to build social media stardom. They're called Sharenters, a hybrid of sharing and parent. I call them pimps, a hybrid of pimp and s. People who believe in social justice have agreed this is wrong and this is bad, and exposing kids to an adult world of lurid costumes and garish makeup borders on abuse. Now, hurry up and get in the car. We're late for Drag Queen Story Hour.
Holy shit.
Yep.
This dude's going to die.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, but, like, and, of course, I would never hope that on anybody, but what? Oh, my God.
They're going to take it out.
I'm sorry. I'm going to keep going, but this is incredible.
Yep.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a drag queen, but maybe it's time to admit that sometimes Drag Queen Story Hour is more for the queen than the kids. Yeah. Sure, kids love a clown, but does the clown have to have tits? And when I see a five-year-old tipping at a bar, under a sign that says it's not going to lick itself? Do
what?
I have to pretend?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is incredible. What they're going to...
Don't you love this clip?
I wish him and his family all the best.
Yeah.
And that's
Bill
cool
didn't
in
kill
order
himself.
To keep my liberal ID
card. Right, yes.
Sorry, I can't do that.
Is it too soon? Should we start making some memes? I'm sorry. Let's continue.
If you want kids to be more tolerant, why not have handicapped people read them stories? Kids are more likely to encounter disabled people than drag queens in life. Geez, can't we just go back to the good old days when kids were read simple stories with simple morals like, if you're a lonely single man, just make a boy out of wood. Said it before, wokeness is not an extension of liberalism anymore. It's more often taking something so far that it becomes the opposite. Teaching kids not to hate or judge those who are different, great. Proud we got there, all for that. But at a certain point, inclusion becomes promotion. And contrary to current progressive dogma, children aren't miniature adults wise beyond their years. They're morons. They're gullible morons who'll believe anything and just want to please grown-ups. And they don't have any frame of reference, so they normalize whatever's happening. That's why endlessly talking about gender to six-year-olds isn't just inappropriate. It's what the law would call entrapment, which means enticing people into doing something they wouldn't ordinarily do. For example, after 9/11, there were several cases of overzealous federal agents leading sad losers into terrorist plots, like the undercover FBI agent who got seven out-of-work dudes in Liberty City, Florida, to sign on to a plot.
Oh, my God. He's just going after it all, isn't he?
Going off.
To bomb the Sears Tower in Chicago? Oh, please, these guys didn't even have a gun. And when someone said, wouldn't it be cool if we taught the man a lesson and blew something up? They said, yeah, that would be kind of cool. Entrapment, suggesting someone into something they wouldn't otherwise do. And if you think that some of that isn't going on with gender in schools, you're not watching enough TikTok videos.
I pledge allegiance to the queers. I'm not allowed to be out as trans or non-binary at school. My response to this is to be as obnoxiously queer as possible.
There's a certain kind of activist these days who wants to take heterosexuality, old school, old-fashioned, boring business heterosexuality, and lump it in with patriarchy and sexism and racism and tell kids wouldn't it be cool if you were anything but that? That seems to be the theme of kind of a lot of kids' books these days. I never used the phrase gay agenda because I thought it was mostly nonsense. And it is, mostly. But a director for Disney Television Animation did say after she was hired,
the showrunners were super welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. Like, I was just, wherever I could, just basically adding queerness. No one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
Look, I'm all for adding queerness wherever. I put some in my drink before I came out here tonight.
Well done.
But maybe we should think about giving kids a break from our culture wars for a minute, or at least until the election is over.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay, we're going to have to pause and talk about it. I know, Mom, you want to leave soon, but can we pause and talk about that? Because that was a whole thing
we
right
totally
there.
We totally can, because I've got a follow-up, and yes, absolutely, let's do it. Because I watched that clip, and I was cheering. Go. Every
Kate?
Sacred cow. He went after every freaking sacred cow, and I just absolutely loved it, cheered it. I was like, you go, Bill.
Well, he stayed away from politics. Excuse me.
Except for after the election, the last little comment about action after the election. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah, but you know,
well,
basically,
he said that,
go ahead, Kate.
Didn't he say that Trump was calling out Disneyland or somebody somebody on the right?
DeSantis.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so DeSantis was calling out Disneyland and everybody discounted him because he's on the right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, here it is, all the evidence. So,
well, not only that, but like, this is like, you know, I just have to say it. It's like, go back and look at my posts. They're all about this. We've called this out. We called out at when, you know, posted about when every Disney employee went to jail for, you know, for child sex
trafficking. Then they hired the guy. He gets arrested from Nickelodeon. And then Disney hired him. Did you hear that part of the clip? Did you pay attention
to
that?
Of course I did. Of course, I already reported on it. So I think right now is probably a good time to remind people of the definition of pedo-gate.
Go ahead.
Because that is exactly what's going on here, is that pedo-gate is the sexual abuse of children and the systematic cover-up that follows. So...
Yes.
Am I surprised when I hear that a Nickelodeon employee was, you know, charged and found guilty of you know, sexual abuse of children or trafficking, perhaps? Has to fire him, right? That's what that's what they do. They have to fire him. But the next company, the huge company, so Nickelodeon, he's gone. Then he just goes to Disney and gets put on the fucking cast, the production crew or whatever, of a child show.
Who was this?
What was his name? They showed him. They showed the guy and his name, and write it down.
Right.
I can figure
it
out.
I'm definitely going to have to watch this a couple times, and I'm like, surprised I haven't seen it since, you know, or until now. This is just amazing, and because they unpack so much stuff, right? But so now he's calling out DeSantis. Now he's calling out Disney. Now he's calling out. He tries to throw in Michael Jackson, but I don't really think that's a whole different story. But then, you know, he also what else did they were talking about 9/11? He threw in something about 9/11. Did you guys catch that?
No, I missed that part. I've watched it three times.
Yeah. they called out something about 9/11. I'll have to go back and watch again or listen. Yeah. And then what was the other thing that they threw in? I actually stopped to write all the stuff down because he just bam, 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 one after. Oh, the 9/11 hijackers, right? That's what they said. They were talking the gay culture, the whole gay culture. He just put on blast and said that this was not right and shouldn't be happening. And he linked it back to seven guys, Muslims, who were entrapped by the FBI to say,
right.
So basically they were all sitting around and the plant FBI agent said to a bunch of like poor guys, like these
Let's
were not
blow
rich.
Some shit up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they were like, yeah, wouldn't it be cool if like people just blew some shit up? And the guys were like, oh yeah, maybe that'd be cool, you know, or whatever. They get 7 years.
Yep.
Just because they, yep. you know, they need to be able to point a finger at something so much so that they, and continue with the picture that they're painting, right? They, you know,
mm-hmm.
the passports at the base of the Twin Tower, everybody knew right away it was bin Laden. Every, you know, like it was a portrait that they were painting. They had to have some bad guys, right? And
yeah,
so, yeah, that's what they had to do is they had to go out and find them
mm-hmm.
and entrap them. And he's basically equating the gay movement towards children as the same kind of entrapment, that if every single day of your life you're forced to think about gender and forced to pick a side and forced to,
yep.
to you know, have an identity based on this, that, you know, they're going to – that is entrapment. And that's illegal.
It is
interesting.
Wow.
It is.
Wow.
And talk about a captive audience.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, I wish Ty was here. He'd have some very interesting things to say about this. Hopefully we can remember to ask him when he comes on later. But, all right, I'm done. I've already taken up too much time. So.
I'm totally okay with it because I was super excited
you.
About that clip. And this is
yeah.
how – okay, so again, I have to do my disclaimer – you notice this election season, we haven't been hearing about the QAnon, 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 QAnon. Okay, there's some, okay, but nothing like what we've been experiencing during the Trump presidency and the last election, the 2020 election. But during that time, okay, Danielle and I, in 2016, during the whole election cycle, she was excited about Bernie, and I was like, okay, yeah, but he's running against Hillary Clinton, and, you know, it'll never – blah, blah, blah. Having said all that, I saw what was coming. I saw how she was going to take him out, kneecap the guy, and because I know what she's capable of. I've been watching her for years. I go, but – because I kept saying, but it's Hillary Clinton, okay, Danielle. And she's like, well, so it's Bernie. Okay. During that time, Danielle and I started going down rabbit holes, okay, with Pedogate. And it was a life-changing moment for me because, of course, I was excited about the election, and, of course, I hate Hillary Clinton. and you know, Donald Trump, oh, my God. You know, who was Donald Trump? He was a freaking carnival
celebrity
partner, okay, yeah,
celebrity
all that other stuff, and I'm like, wow, it's never gonna happen. I mean, and they kept telling us 99% Hillary's gonna win, right? And but then about that time the WikiLeaks stuff started dropping, and it was life-changing for me because there was so much demonic stuff that they were flashing at us. And the problem was at the time it was like a freaking avalanche of information, and it was a lot for my spirit at that time, but demonic spirit cooking, pedophilia, babies being, you know, ritually abused, and just on and on and on in the WikiLeaks stuff. And every time they would come out, they would censor it, they would stop it, and Danielle and I would go farther and farther down the rabbit. During that time is when I started listening to the Q posts, okay? And so the first thing that I want to do is make sure that people understand there is no such thing as QAnon, okay? There is Q, and he was releasing a lot of information that was pointing to the WikiLeaks stuff, that was pointing to the corruption in our government. I didn't want to believe a lot of it, and of course that was those wicked Democrats and those wicked deep state people, and, you know, of course, but, you know, come to find out it's my frickin' party too. Okay, but all that aside, I started listening and following and reading and digging just like millions and millions and millions of other people. And one of the people that I continued to follow was somebody called Oh my God, my brain just stopped. Here we go. It's Pepe. Okay. Forwarded from Lord of God, help me. Where is it? Ultra Pepe Lives Matter. He's changed it a bunch of times, but it's Pepe. Ultra Pepe. Okay, so he's one of the Q guys. There's a whole bunch of Q guys that I would read their material and, you know, go digging, just like everybody else. Like, are you kidding? That's not possible. They can't do stuff like that. Oh, my God, they really are, right? So during that time, they tried everything to diminish and to crackpot and to racist and to, you know, all these people that continue to dig and continue to understand the Q posts and to dig based on he wasn't telling us anything. He said, go look, keep looking, ask questions, go look.
Yeah. Okay? That's Q did actually at the very beginning. And just to like fill in, just in case anybody doesn't know what Q is, what the main theory of what Q is, it would be somebody with a Q level security clearance. It's a thing. It's an energy. It's an energy level security thing, which
it's
pretty
and
up
so
there.
A lot of people were trying to figure out who Q was. To this day, I really don't care. And
I have theories. Everybody's got theories.
If you follow Q, you would just decide, I'm just going to go dig because this is interesting stuff and it's scary stuff.
That's the only thing that you can do. And that's what I'll shut up after this. But the original Q posts were all questions. There was one original
all
letter,
questions.
And if somebody can get a hold of the letter, I would love to read it online or on the show. But after that original letter, it was all questions for a good chunk of the beginning of Q was him asking questions. So you had nothing else, you know, no other option. You're not following him. He is asking questions, and then you go and look up the answer. It's not that, you know, like it's not a
not
follower
that complicated
thing.
it's not
but
they
some
of
weird,
course that was go ahead
it's
Kate.
Not just a bunch of it's not just a bunch of people wearing tinfoil hats. It's just people doing actual research.
Exactly.
And that's what's so demeaning about the conventional narrative about Q. You know, people who are interested in Q. It's very insulting. Very insulting.
It is.
There was
The whole idea was they had to be silent because they were asking the right questions.
That's
and
the nice
right.
way of looking at it, I think. It was a bit uglier than that, in my opinion, but yeah. That's the long and short of it. You have to be silent.
So here's the good news.
But there's silence through shame, and they're stupid, and they're racist.
And they're whack jobs, and they're crackpots, and they're crazy.
And they're criminals.
There.
Like, I wonder what percentage – I'm sorry, I'll stop after this, but it is my show. So, but I wonder the percentage of Q people that went to J6. I'm just asking.
Bunches.
Yeah.
Guarantee it.
Sure.
So I have a post to finish up today. That is really good news because guess what? It didn't work. They didn't silence us. They didn't, all the Anons never stopped digging. We never stopped asking questions and much of it leaked into the mainstream where people go, oh my gosh, that really is true, isn't it? Oh, holy crap. Forwarded from Professor Patriot. The Great Awakening is working and it's brilliant. That's what they kept talking about, the Great Awakening. They were waking people up to stop just mindlessly believing the bullshit. In 2017, the Q-Op brought together thousands of decentralized minds willing to work for free, dig into some very ugly subject matter, and work nearly independently to expose the truth. The digital soldiers are not one voice that can be arrested, deplatformed, or silenced. They cannot control us. We are an army of little frogs, and we are everywhere. Since that first Q post, thousands more have joined the battle, and the evidence we have exposed has brought awareness to bigger voices who have taken truth to their bigger audiences. In a fight against a globalist criminal syndicate with an organization that is built on lies from top to bottom, the only counter is the truth. they have no answer for it. We force them to lie more, and then we expose the bigger lies. Narratives that used to take years are trampled by truth in hours. Monkeypox, gone. China white tongue pneumonia, gone. COVID reboot, gone. Bird flu going as we speak. Black men killed by police in Chicago after firing first, off the radar. Global warming shattered. Every lie and narrative gets blown up by nerds with words and dank memes. Nerds with words and dank memes. I love
can
that.
Somebody please
you have to take a
that
back.
Onto a pillow for me, please.
Can we? You have to take a step back and see just how many wins we have nearly every day and stand in awe. We have no money. We have no hot lights. We don't get paid, but we show up every day and expose the truth while lifting spirits and soaring at 40,000 feet. The brilliance of this movement is astonishing. I stand in awe every day of my friends, F-R-E-N-S, that's a frog term, Anons and autists, diggers and independent journalists, and just everyday people who show up every day working against all odds and winning against a filthy juggernaut that owns everything but us and a few big voices. Hat tip digital soldiers, we are winning. God bless this crazy little army for truth. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Wow.
That's my story today, guys.
Hmm.
We got Bill
Thank
Moore
you so much.
Standing up and calling out the... Yeah. So I just want to do something real quick also.
Okay.
Because I said I wanted to talk about Christian nationalists today.
Oh, yay.
And yeah, I know. And so what I found was there are literally 50,000 articles about the evils of Christian nationalism. And so when I Googled it, that's what 50,000 NPR, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, blah, 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 Christian nationalism. Oh, my God. You know what? Ah, stop. Stop the presses.
Okay, stop.
This week, I don't know if you guys know this because it probably didn't get publicized too much, but the January 6th story got blown to smithereens.
No wonder it wasn't really reported on.
Right. But the Capitol, but the National Guard came and testified at the Subcommittee on Oversight and blew up the narrative about the National Guard and Trump wanting a revolution that day. Because if you remember from day one, he said, I ordered however many National Guard and I was blocked. They stopped them from coming to stop what happened and to guard and protect. Well, the people from the National Guard came and said they absolutely did stop us from going. We were ready. We were wanting to go. We were watching what was happening and they wouldn't give us the order. They refused. Whistleblowers speak out on January 6th delay 3 years later. D.C. National Guard whistleblowers speak out on January 6th delay. We're talking 5 or 6 hours. Colonel Earl G. Matthews said they lied and uses only 2.5 minutes of his time to give his opening statement. Every single one of them, Brigadier General Aaron Dean, grave inaccuracies in the IG report. So they have the evidence that they stopped them from going. Okay. So the dog whistle of Christian nationalism. Okay, so if you look it up about Christian nationalism, there's 50,000 articles, and I'm not exaggerating. There are 50,000. And then you start to see it shift in this list of Google articles about Christian nationalism. It's white Christian nationalism, white Christian nationalism. I don't know, I supposedly, even Center for American Progress says Christian nationalism is the single biggest threat to America's religious freedom. The Heritage Foundation says that it's a dog whistle. They're trying to silence us. It's another form of manipulation. So if you hear the term Christian nationalism, I'm going to explain what it is, just so you can talk about it to people when they try to say, you know, those Christian nationalists, okay? Christian nationalism, first and foremost, is thought of as a label that is being applied to a wide variety of perspectives. Just because someone describes themselves as a Christian nationalist is no cause to start church discipline proceedings, okay? It means that images of protesters waving Christian flags, carrying crosses juxtaposed with rioters pouring into the Capitol building. See, this is all part of the propaganda that we've been had shoved down our throat. So here we go.
I'm gonna wager that they mentioned QAnon somewhere in this article as well. Go ahead.
Somewhere in this article, you're absolutely right, and I haven't. You know, I can get to it, but it says that against. Okay, so let me hold on. Let me get to the part, the meat, practical Christian nationalism. The group champions a more robust conservatism, unafraid to exercise power to restrain evil and promote good according to a Christian moral framework. They believe America was founded as a de facto Christian nation under federalist structure and seek to return to a proper understanding of our founding principles. They want Christians to recover the will to govern according to a Christian moral framework. They're largely uninterested in Christian princes, established churches, debating the contours of the Constitution, focusing instead on, this is what we want, ending abortion and actively opposing transing kids. Okay? So that's active, and then there's theoretical. Okay? Theoretical Christian national is they're not unconcerned with more immediate problems. They're primarily focused on political theology and answering big questions about the nature of power and the relationship between church and state, questions too long ignored by American Protestants. This group is also more interested in determining what is permissible in terms of church-state relations and societal structure than it is in prescribing concrete changes to existing government. Okay, so what they want is a moral government. They want, you know, first of all, to leave the kids alone, period. Whether they're in the womb or they're growing up in kindergarten, they just want us to be able to raise our families the way we want to raise our families, and we don't want people telling us that you know, that they have to believe in transing kids, and that's just all there is to it. So that's what, from a Christian nationalist perspective, they want a more moral government. That's what they want. So that's where we're at with that.
What a bunch of dicks. Really? That's all they want?
That's all they want. Okay. They want less babies. They want them to leave the kids alone, period. That's what they want. Mm-hmm. They want us they want to be able to raise their families, and they want you to stop shoving down your stuff down on our throats. And that's it. We want to be just left alone to worship and we want you to leave our children alone. That's Christian nationalism in a nutshell. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing how that gets construed as almost like Nazi.
Something else comes in.
Fascist. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just a way of silencing.
That's
people,
what they want.
Calling a
That's
name.
What they want. They want. Exactly. Yeah.
Interestingly
Turn them
enough,
into monsters.
Like, I didn't really think
the
that
last
this
thing
was...
that I want to tell you. Go ahead.
Just really quick. It's really interesting because I've been avoiding the news this week. I just restarted watching Handmaid's Tale, and that is, you know, they're trying to scare anybody who's not, you know, they're trying to scare people into thinking that this is the future that the right wants for them. You know what I mean? Like, and it's so messed up.
No,
anyway, but like,
I don't care. No. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what they do is they plant these little seeds into Hollywood, into these kind of productions of, if the right gets in charge, if the Bible gets implemented into our culture in any way, shape, or form, it's going to end up like Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some fancy footwork.
So the other day I watched one of the abortion harpies on the television, and she said they're going to take away our birth control. Okay. We're talking about abortion. The next thing she says is they're taking away birth control. No, I would prefer
to say that in Handmaid's
birth control.
Too.
Yeah. I want you to use double, triple, quadruple protection, okay, because I don't want you to kill your babies, okay? So the more birth control, the better, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to use birth control to plan a family, have a baby, if you ever want to, I'm not sure, whatever, okay, cool. I'm cool with that. I want you to do that, because what I don't want you to do is murder children in the womb. And you know, if you can't control yourself, if you want to have lots of wild sex, go for it. It's one of the gifts that God gives us. Beautiful, wild, crazy sex. Have all you want, okay? Just protect yourself and your partner so that there's no baby to kill, okay? And you can do that. Now, the best way to prevent pregnancy, obviously, is to abstain. That's really the only one 100% sure way, but we're not designed that way. God made us to want to have sex, lots of it, okay? It's all part of the survival instinct that we have, and we get this mm-hmm. beautiful burst of pleasure that goes with it, and it's why we want to do it a lot. Cool, okay? But there is a way to prevent conception, and you should do that mm-hmm. rather than use abortion as birth control.
Not only that, but how about if society was set up to support parents? Like what happened to that idea?
Even better. Yeah. Yeah. We have a popularized. Oh, my God. What a concept. Yes. Yeah. Support parents and having kids.
Life supporting society. Mm-hmm. Like, what happened to affordable housing or just any? I don't know. It just seems like. Right now, and I'm sure you would agree with me, the world seems set up to really make life harder for just normal people.
Oh, yeah, for
it,
sure.
It is set up that way.
Well, Mom, I know you got to go and feed the chicken soon. I'm not trying to cut you off in any way, shape, or form, but,
nope.
Like,
I'm done. I'm ready.
Yeah, very good.
I'm totally ready.
So great hearing your good news.
But Sydney Powell won her case.
Yeah. Oh, did she?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sydney Powell won. Really wanted to say that one. Let me just
Can you tell
quick,
us a little
I'll,
more about that?
Yeah. Wasn't trying to kick you off. I just know that this is the time. Yeah.
Dallas Court of Appeals has affirmed that Texas State Court's dismissal of the Texas bar case against Powell after 3 years of litigation, the Court of Appeals held that the bar had no evidence Powell violated any disciplinary rule in filing 4 federal lawsuits in the aftermath of the 2020 election. So she's been fighting to keep her law license in the state of Texas, right? And and she won. Yay, because she didn't break any rules. She didn't break any laws. It's okay to be a lawyer. And they were criminalizing lawyering. Yeah, they were criminalizing lawyering.
Amazing?
And, yep. Hey, we're doing that. Okay. Bless you guys. I'll see you next week. I'll have more good news. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep digging. Don't stop. They can't stop us, and they never will. Bless you.
Oh, love you.
Bless you.
We love you. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. Say hi to those chickens for us.
So much to unpack there. Like, so much. Like, I don't know.
I
like,
know. I wanted to respond really quickly to your statement about The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
I haven't seen it, but there's that movie, the Netflix movie. What is it called? It's where it's like blacks against whites. What is it called? Here's just something about it. You're pinning whites against, this is just somebody talking about Barack Obama because I guess he helped produce it. You're pinning whites against blacks. There's a line in the movie that says, "Dad, you know, if something goes down, we can't trust these white people. I know that's something both you and Mom agree on," unquote. And then this guy "Why do you put that line in the movie, Barack? And you were helping with the script. Why would you put that in the movie? Why would you put that in the movie, Barack?" Well, that's sort of redundant. Weren't you the same guy that gave a talk at the DNC in 2004 about bringing people together? What happened to that guy? Interesting. What is it called? The Morning After or something like that? Let me figure it out.
Please figure it out because I would love this. Yeah.
Oh, I do know.
It's interesting how pop culture is, infiltrating our thoughts and planting those seeds like you were talking about with Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, my God. I have to look it up because I've seen it. I know. I just forget the title now. But
yeah,
I,
right?
What's it called?
And I also heard something weird about that movie having a soundtrack that affects your mind, like extra layers of sound.
I wouldn't doubt it. Remind me later.
Leave the world behind.
I'm trying to look at my Hulu account right now.
Danielle, it's called Leave the World Behind.
Leave the World. That's what it is. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that. Oh, so that, okay, all right, because I was like, a little propaganda-y there, and all the Teslas crashing into each other, nice, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, and didn't they, like, didn't the electric cars kill people or something like that? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that, and, like, they were trying to leave, this family was trying to leave the island, and all of these electric cars, like smashed into each other. Like they were driving their car and they're like, oh, get out. Cause there was a traffic jam. And it was like all like Teslas. And so it's like this family of four, in a traffic jam. And like the driver looks in the rearview mirror and all of these like cars are speeding at them. So they're like, get out. Right. And so they get out of the car and all of these Teslas hit all of these Teslas. Right. Because they can be programmed to go there. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot
Soft
to unpack with that.
Soft disclosure, anyone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. There's so many things that are soft disclosures. And that's why, good Lord, that, what's his name? That Bill Maher thing? Good Lord. I almost want to play that again. That was insane.
You know, I just heard him talking to Katie Couric, who's a big Never Trumper and Trump derangement syndrome person. And he was saying to her, you know, the mainstream news is losing a whole huge section of people because they don't feel heard or seen or acknowledged that they're worried about certain issues like gender indoctrination in schools and stuff like that. So they're, and they're anti-war, so they're gravitating in this other direction towards Trump. But, you know, and no offense to people who love Trump, but he said a lot of them don't like Trump either. And it's true. Like, so many Trump supporters say to me, like, oh, if he could only just be, you know, curtail his mean comments or whatever like that. Like,
oh,
to sound
yeah.
a little
you
bit
that,
smarter. To
you know that meme that meme's like, that's like, I could sure take some low gas prices and some mean tweets right about now. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
Like, no matter, like, what you yes. wanted to say about his two scoops of ice cream, you know what I mean? Like, they just portrayed him in just, like, the, like, and it's interesting because they did portray him in such a bad light, and then, like, turned around and portrayed Biden as this, like, go get him, rough him up, sock it, you know, like
yeah.
he was
America's grandpa.
Right, right.
Who just happens to shower with his granddaughter, right? Is it granddaughter or daughter?
It was his daughter. But that's the other thing is that this is, I had to say it, right? Pedogate, we just went over the definition. It doesn't, you know, the sexual abuse of children and the systematic cover-up that follows does not end at Hollywood. Like this guy kind of says is going on. It's that Hollywood is, and Hollywood is one aspect of it. And it's a major aspect of it. But as Ty would say, this is rings within rings within rings. You know, like he brought up the entrapment from the FBI for 9/11 because it definitely follows in with the, you know, the programming of America through our films, through our, you know, what's it called? Like our general, you know, population control methods, like Hollywood, like music, right? All of these, these are all pillars of our society, right? But so is the church, and they're part of it too. That falls into that definition of pedogate. So is politics, right? So Bill Maher can call out this one pillar which is the entertainment and probably the music industry. They're probably pretty closely linked, I would say.
Yeah, at this point, we're seeing that P. Diddy story unfold.
Oh, yeah, right. Did you see the meme? I made it, but like, there was like,
no.
Everybody keeps saying that Pedogate is going to just crumble right now, but this is the one, like, this is the first big music name that's going down for Pedogate. And then it's, you know, like that angry, like, guy with his hands on his hips. It's R. Kelly, right? Because, like,
right.
R. Kelly's,
yes,
been, yeah,
right?
R. Kelly's been there for a while, right? Allison Mack has been there for a while, too. You can't really say that Hollywood hasn't been going down. Allison Mack,
Weinstein.
You know.
Yeah,
right.
Allison Mack,
exactly.
Repulsive.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's almost inconceivable. All
right.
These stories, when just regular people hear about it, they're like, why isn't this front page?
Well, and that's why this is the soft disclosure part, because, like, I don't know how long you've been researching Pedogate, but it seems like almost maybe even longer than me. Who knows? But we were down in the trenches kind of alone understanding these truths. And I'm not saying that I'm the same as a survivor of Pedogate, but those people are also, you know, like, really almost ready, able to go to start exposing these people too. It seems like we've got a lot of victims coming out, and that's why we're getting all of these disclosures. The thing is this is a very, this is probably the most bitter red pill that we're ever going to swallow as a population. And that's that the pillars of society use child sex to control the world, you know, that's it. And so all of these disclosures are going to have to come out, and you see it with the Epstein documentaries and Leave the World Behind documentaries. You know, that's not a documentary. That was like a little movie, but
entertainment.
Jimmy Savile, right? They came out with the Jimmy Savile. The Keepers on Netflix is also about, you know, a very abusive priest that had the police behind him, that had the media behind him, that had the church behind him, and was able to just rape children for many, many years. Let's be honest. We all know that the Catholic Church isn't immune to this, right? So that was a soft disclosure that was put out on Netflix. But the big people, like Jimmy Savile, like, did you ever think that Jimmy Savile would be a name that they would sacrifice? I guess he's dead. So that...
Mm-hmm, maybe that's why.
You know, but this was the go-between for Diana and Charles. You know what I mean? He raped over 500 victims, some of them dead bodies, and the BBC covered for it for like 50 years or something. Like, It's an insane story, and Pedogate is crumbling.
It's inconceivable.
Yeah.
How this can even be happening in the civilized world. It's like you expect something like this in, I don't know, like here's just horror stories about Haiti, impoverished people could imagine sex slaves or people being held for organ harvesting or something awful like this. But this with, like, people who are supposed to be the leaders of the world.
Yeah.
So insane.
Well, that's
that,
the systematic,
like,
cover-up, right? Like that. And remember, we're in charge of the biggest killing machine in the history of mankind, right? And so it shouldn't be too far-fetched to realize that money isn't enough control, that they're going to have some other kind of blackmail on politicians and pretty much every to keep them in line. And Bernie Sanders is no exception, you know? So,
apparently, yeah. Or threats. I mean, you could threaten somebody's family or, you know, threaten them with death.
Yes, right.
You got to think
well,
something like that happened.
Yeah. Lots of threats.
Where did Bernie go? Nobody talks about it either.
Well, he went right where he was told to go. You know, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. They had blackmail on him. They have blackmail on everybody. You know, and in power. You know, not everybody. There are obviously very good, honest people, and that's why they trust the church, and that's why they trust politicians, and that's why they trust the Democratic Party, or, you know, fill in the blank of people that they trust, because, if they were abusing people, the tops of these churches and politicians, if they were abusing people, somebody would have talked. That's what they say. You know,
part of the abuse is scaring people, make them feel like their life is in danger if they talk.
Mm-hmm. Trauma-based mind control is the beginning and will, when it's exposed, the end of people understanding what's going on. You know, and obviously I'm not saying that somebody who was very, like, you know, molested, in these rings, these trafficking rings, these elite trafficking rings. I'm certainly not saying that my suffering is more than theirs, but it is important for us to talk about this stuff and to realize that it is very hard to overcome your grief when you understand that this is what's going on in society. This is what is going on in society at the highest level. And it's going to take a while for people to wake up to that. People don't want to believe it. And, it's
everything they believe.
Right. Exactly. And so that's why, like, the people, like the QAnon people, obviously there's no such thing as QAnon, but the Q,
right.
The Anons that follow Q.
Yeah.
At least they got to wake up to the Pedogate, because they definitely exposed Pedogate. They got to wake up to it amongst a community of people. Right. So it wasn't as hard to research that stuff during the Q or the Anon movements. But it would have been nice, you know, to have a community around me when I woke up to this stuff. It's a difficult reality to acknowledge. And, and that's kind of where we are as a society. There's so many documentaries out there exposing it now that's what this is a soft disclosure. And it's almost done. So I don't know, you guys, plant some food or something like that, right?
Yeah. It's easy to imagine that society is on the verge of some kind of collapse, if not pause, because when you scratch the surface, it's just so incredibly corrupt and disgusting.
True.
Here's something I was looking at while your mom was talking about gender transitioning. I was looking up some stuff, and I just looked up, like, what's the percentage of kids that go back to their original gender after wanting to transition? And I found really conflicting information depending on the year. So here, May 11th, 2022, it says that, let's see, young children who transition to a new gender with social changes, taking on new names, pronouns, haircuts, and clothing are likely to continue identifying as that gender 5 years later, according to a report published on Wednesday, the first study of its kind. The data come from, that's not correct, language, the data come from the Trans Youth Project, a well-known effort following 317 children across the United States and Canada who underwent a so-called social transition between ages 3 and 12. Participants transitioned on average at 6.5. The vast majority of the group still identified with their new gender 5 years later. Well, that's still only like 11 and a half years old. According to the study, and many had begun hormonal medication in adolescence to prompt biological changes to align with their gender identity. The study found that 2.5% of that group had reverted to identifying as the gender they were assigned at birth. As tension mounts in courtrooms, the state houses across the country about the appropriate health care for transgender children, there's been little hard data to draw on about their long-term development. The new study provides one of the first large data sets on the group. The researchers plan to continue following this cohort for 20 years after their social transitions began.
Can you please remind me of the year that this study came out?
That was 2023.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, 2022. So then I found this other thing from 2013 that said 11 studies have been conducted looking at whether gender dysphoria persists throughout childhood. On average, 80% of children change their minds and do not continue into adulthood as transgender. Some of these studies are very old, the first being published in 1968 and others in the 1980s. This was during a time when being transgender was not accepted as widely in society as it is now. So it can be argued that this may have influenced many to change their minds. But only 2.5% to 20% of all cases of gender dysphoria in childhood and adolescence are the initial manifestation of irreversible transsexualism. An analysis of 10 published studies, can be seen here. In this Dutch study, they identified 127 children who were referred to the gender identity clinic in Amsterdam when they were under the age of 12. They then looked to see if these children were still gender dysphoric by the time they reached adolescence at age 15. 47 of them, in other words, 37%, had persisted. However, 64% of children had either desisted or were no longer traceable. It is well known that the onset of puberty is an important time when personal identities begin to form and develop. Interestingly, at the gender clinic in this study, the children were not given puberty blockers until age 15, and so most will have started their natural puberty by the time of the follow-up. It is currently unknown what role puberty plays in the observed resolution of gender dysphoria in most of the children in the studies. It is also unknown whether the increased use of puberty blockers in children, thereby postponing puberty altogether, will inadvertently increase persistence rates for gender dysphoria. Evidence obtained from the Children's Gender Identity Clinic in the UK Tavistock Clinic is that 40% of the children referred to them progress onto puberty blockers. This correlates well with the results from the Dutch study. Alarmingly, however, almost all children who start puberty blockers then go on to cross-sex hormones, suggesting the desistance after medication begins is very rare. Conclusion. I'm just going to skip down to the bottom. Most children grow out of their gender dysphoria as they reach adolescence. Social transitions and/or puberty blockers are frequently used to ameliorate symptoms in these children. However, the long-term psychological impact of these therapeutic strategies on children is unknown. Therapeutic approaches for children with gender dysphoria are not evidence-based, and long-term outcome studies are urgently needed in this area. In other words, back in 2013, before this became a kind of cult, here's this article talking about like actual clinical studies that says most children, they go back to the gender that they were at birth. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, totally.
You like this. The lens that we view it through is changing, and the studies, just the data magically is different now.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. No, that's actually the most important story, you know, is that our definitions are disappearing. And our science is disappearing, right? But, you know, I just recently rewatched, have you ever watched the episode or the series House MD?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Like
yeah, me too. I just recently rewatched it, and it's very interesting how many times he like differentiates between men and women. And the what's the other one that did that recently? Grey's Anatomy. Like I rewatched Grey's Anatomy, and it, you know, there was one opening intro that talked about men and women and their brain chemistry and their muscle development and all of this stuff, right? That totally would have been canceled. I was like, oh my God, Grey's Anatomy should be canceled right now. They just said something that's not really allowed to be said anymore. And that is that men and women's brains develop in different ways, right? And it affects the body, the structure of the body, the muscles of the body, in very different ways.
Yes. Yeah, not only that, but, well, and I want you to finish your thought. So if you wanted to say more about that, continue.
No. Well, all I'm saying is
that I have very strong ideas about this as well.
Totally,
it's an outrage.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that, like, you can even just watch TV shows that are still hits and find these, you know, very poignant examples of why doctors say that you can't, that there are differences. So that's
yes.
all. Why are these shows not canceled?
Were they old shows that you watched? Were they old reruns?
Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, Grey's Anatomy is still running.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
I know, right? It's that irrelevant, right?
Amazing.
But
wow.
Yeah, right?
Good
I know.
For them.
It's like my whole adult life that show has been on.
Shondaland.
Yeah, that and House MD, right? Like that show does it too. I mean, he's supposed to offend, but he's always right.
Right.
And he often the episodes come into, well, he was a man and a woman and the differences between men and women. And it's just all of these things would have been canceled right now.
Well, in the old medical model, they only do drug testing or studies like heart disease studies on men because they considered men the standard and women were just kind of an abnormal version of a man and they can just go fuck it, whatever.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, as a woman, like, we're so complex hormonally. I'm not saying that men aren't complex also in another way, but heart disease in women and so much that has to do with hormone balance. And this is not part of a lot of medical models.
Mm-hmm.
So to just say that
balance,
gender
actually is
just an idea, what's that?
I said I would call it balance. You know what I mean? Like, we go ahead. I don't want to cut you off with your thought. We do have a raised hand over here of somebody who, and I don't recognize the number, so, but I'll let you in now. Sorry.
Well, I just wanted to talk about this for a moment.
Hello. Yeah, no problem at all.
My name's Nathan in Orlando, and I just want to point out a couple of things that you guys are kind of like bouncing around. A woman can go to the heart attack, have a heart attack, and it's detected because of a temperature drop. A man can have a heart attack and it's detected by his chest just pounding all over the place in his heart, in his chest.
True, true.
Okay, that's the difference. But if you, the reason is a man has a bigger heart in comparison to smaller organs. That's why a boy can outrun a girl. Okay, he's got more energy. A woman has a smaller heart with comparison to bigger organs. That's why she's able to carry her baby. So this is science. If you look at your fingers, I'm looking at my hand right now. The pointer, finger number one, is shorter than finger number three, the ring finger. On you guys, you're seeing a taller pointer than you are. That's the skeletal difference. All this stuff is science.
That's creepy. Where's the camera?
There's
do you have
whole,
a camera in my room right
stuff.
Now? I'm kidding.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm just saying all this stuff is real. If you run into people out there and they're pretending to be a boy or a girl, you can look at these little things. Now, if a woman works out with weights, we've seen a woman look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, working. If you see a woman that has a finger, her pointer is taller than her ring finger, it's probably because she's a mechanic or she does something with her hands. So, again, it goes back to the word evolve means grow, not something becomes different from what its origin, or nothing becomes something. It evolves, it grows because of her activity. Just like her muscle grows, she does a lot of, you know, curls, you know, that kind of stuff. But that whole thing with a woman and a man, that they can't make that case.
No, right, of course.
Unless you've been taught
that.
Unless you've been taught it, then it's hard to let go of it.
I kind of feel bad because Kate was just like having like a point when I brought you in. But please stay, and I want more of your input. But like, I don't want to lose track of what Kate was just going to finish up with, and then we can get back to this very interesting debate because I feel like we're all on the same page, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like you were giving us some very helpful information that just supports what we're saying. And I've been a fan of Dr. Neil Ruzier, MD, who's been a pioneer in the field of bioidentical hormone replacement in women for longevity. So hormone replacement was smeared when people were given a bad drug that caused cancer, but it was from horse urine, and it was, you know, deleterious to people's health. But there's other sources of hormones that are helping people maintain tissue integrity, heart health, bone density, cognitive clarity, mood, all that stuff. And
agreed.
It's just so crazy to me that anybody would want to tamper with that when you're young and you're healthy and you have all your hormones and that's giving you your physical health. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you want to wear a dress, go for it. But do you really want to mess up your whole entire system?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and that's what,
just become a medical patient's life. I know we talk about this a lot, but
and that's why, like, exactly. I really do. I believe that our society has made these gender boxes that are very, structured as they want. But, you know, honestly, like when it comes to my energy, I feel like I, you know, have masculine qualities. I'm assertive. There are things that like that society kind of like pinholes, like boxes us into that, that makes people, want to try desperate measures to get away from them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not suggesting that this
that
transgenderism is a, what's that?
Maybe that's a construct too. Like,
right.
Maybe the submissive female is a construct, and maybe women really are assertive because we're protecting our young and we're, you know, building our family or just doing stuff. Like, we're smart, right? So that just seems like another societal construct. Why can't people go outside of gender roles, be empowered, do as they want, pioneer, be their best self, totally stereotypical about it, cliche about it, and then just be like, well, this is the body I have. Like, I'm a woman, I want to make love to a woman. Fine. Do I really have to look differently to express these different impulses? Why not just say it's all good and, you know, go for it and we love you and do what you want?
Right.
Why does it have to be a medical industry? That kind of is telling. That means it's about money,
exactly.
Right? And
about
gaslighting people.
For sure.
Making them dependent on a corrupt system.
Right. Behind every social construct is some kind of big business waiting to collect on it. That's definitely a for sure thing. You know, and again, mm-hmm. like, I think this was kind of brought up at the beginning of the show, and it should be focused on, you know, on all of our shows, is that we don't really have a sense of community anymore, right? And so there are these, like, perversions of what's going on, because, you know, like, I remember back in the day, I read an article, I was still a liberal back then, but I read an article that said that science now says there was some kind of scientific study that proved that a man and a man and a woman can raise a baby as well as a woman and a man. And I even remember back in my liberal self being pissed off about this, saying that, like, well, it was never really supposed to be about two people raising children, and it was always supposed to be about community, right? Like, so we're going to push you to the brink of what you can possibly handle, when there could be, you know, grandmothers and grandfathers and, you know, and neighbors and all of these people just there. So, you know, a mother could take a nap perhaps when she was how about this? If a mother dies in childbirth, how is that child going to be fed before there was formula? Well, guess what? There was always a community around people, so that if a mother died in childbirth, there would be an extra breast to feed a child. Like, that's why I thought it was really weird just not too long ago when they're like, oh no, there's a baby formula shortage and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, this could be scary or this could be empowering, because I know when I had children, I was a cow. I produced enough for at least two babies, you know? And so I actually, with my second, I donated to the NICU because I just had so much breast milk. And, you know, I had a big fat baby, and these little preemies needed big fat, you know, milk content, which is another just really interesting thing, is that when you, like, look at the milk breakdown, like how it spins when you do, like, the nutritional values, if you had a fatter baby, your milk is fatter. Why? Because your body is designed to feed at least two big fat babies, or, you know, or less. Like, let's say you have a 6-pounder, there's going to be less caloric content in that, because it doesn't take as much to feed a 6-pound baby as a 10-pound baby, you know. Our bodies know what they're doing. And so when we go back to this, like, shortage, this, you know, formula shortage that was meant to scare us, you know, I'm like, why can't the community be like, look, I've got so much extra breast milk. I can give it to you. I can drive it to you. I can, you know what I mean? Like, it should have been an empowering thing, but it was used to make us scared. Right. I'm a little off on a tangent, so I'll let you go. Sorry.
No, that's great. You're not off on a tangent at all. That just speaks to the separation of people and this really false separation, partly by technology, partly by class. There's kind of an unspoken class system, and everybody's trying so hard to earn money, and then they're so tired that in their downtime they're just scrolling or watching TV, you know, Colbert Report or whatever.
That's silent weapon.
They don't have that sense of, I can rely on a community. I know don't. I don't have that sense at all. I mean, I know there's some pools of that, but those are also people who are so indoctrinated. If you don't fall into their cult, then you're out. You're out of the tribe. If you're not taking the vaccine, you're out. If you don't, you know, vote blue no matter who, or you're out. It's just, there's so many conditions on love. Like, people just don't embrace each other as a community. And that's sad in America. I think Americans have been socially engineered to live separate lives for a really long time, maybe starting with the invention of the car and the breakdown of the city centers.
That could be. I mean, it was, you know, we all know that they're like 37 moves ahead of us, right? So, you know, this nuclear family that popped up right after World War II, right? Like, get back to normalcy as quick as possible, right? The car, like, there's all of these, I think, planned steps that they had. And You know what I mean? They are, and that's why I think it's important to understand our enemy, you know our enemy and make sure that we know what they have in store for us and figure out how to avoid that. Like, we don't just share articles really on Facebook anymore because nobody will see them, but we can perhaps break the algorithm down a little bit by, you know, posting a picture or, you know, whatever these little things that we can do to avoid their oppression, we should do. The bigger item things is plant your own food if you've got the ability to do it. We have to find our new community, right? And those people won't really leave you, or if they do, they'll come back if they were meant to. But really it's taking back our resources. And it's really interesting because that sense of community seems to be at its lowest point. So how do you do that?
Yeah,
maybe go to farmers markets. Meet some people there.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I just got a flyer in the mail that said there's local farmers who are raising meat, like cows and chickens, without mRNA vaccine, which was, like, I was amazed to see, oh, they know people are concerned about that. Just a regular old flyer in the mail. Very, very pleasantly surprised.
I bet you if you went and got some meat there, if you eat meat, you will find some community.
Well, it was a delivery service. I'm sure there's some way to form a community nowadays. I think that what I was talking about was when they were trying to market cars, they broke up the self-contained sort of villages with their little downtowns because they wanted people to have to drive more in order to market like the necessity for a vehicle.
Yeah.
So that was the breakdown. And now I guess they're thinking they want to bring that back and have their little 15-minute cities and all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Like that's, yeah. So
that'll
it depends
be
on what
they'll
kind
be like, hey, you guys, you want the communities back? We got it.
Yeah, right.
Got you some communities. Feeling sad and lonely? Here you go.
So many ways it can go bad.
Solve it.
Yes, exactly. So many ways it can go wrong. But I think planting food on the side of the road is probably the best way to go.
Yeah.
I know, and you live in a different climate, so I can't even tell you that. People in Boston, like, can't really do that kind of stuff. Except for some cherry trees. I bet you guys can grow some cherry trees.
Apple trees. Where I live is a former apple orchard. There's a lot of apple trees around here. Really old ones. But,
we should find some heirloom seeds that grow well around that neighborhood. And call you Johnny Applecate.
People post on the neighborhood hub like, come get my apples.
Oh, that's amazing.
Pile it up. Yeah.
That's so good.
It is
around
great.
Here it's citrus. Like that's what you see a lot of is citrus.
Nice.
Yeah. Although like all it's very interesting because like all around here all of the figs are starting to bloom. Everything's starting to bloom. The peaches, all of that stuff. And I walk in this neighborhood that has so much veg and stuff growing on the side of the road. And we go down alleys, which are completely over, like, dirt grown. You know, like, it's a dirt path to go down these roads, like, right by the beach, even. Mm-hmm. And there's so much stuff just in back alleys, like hanging off the back of properties. At least 10 avocado trees.
Oh, wow.
At least like five fig tree. Fig trees. About 5 fig trees. So much citrus. A couple prickly pears, you know. What else? Grapes. 1 very active grapevine. Blackberries and peppers. Just passion fruit also. Just growing on the side of the road.
Wow. I don't think I've ever even had passion fruit. That's so awesome.
I will have to send you
that
some.
Super cool.
Yes. There's a couple different varieties of it, but this is the purple. It turns purple. That's what really grows very well around here.
I only know passion fruit as a flavor, like in the jelly bean or something. I've never tried passion fruit.
It's so good. And it's a little bit weird because it's if you just cut off the top and you take a spoon and carve into it, maybe like pumpkin, kind of like when there's like that membrane or whatever. But the seeds are much, much smaller and you can eat them. You can crunch them. I don't want to say unique because it's overused, but a very rare flavor. I'd love your opinion on it.
I would love to give you my opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I noticed something interesting this week, and I really swore off arguing with people on Facebook after
probably
so
very smart.
Many long, long arguments about vaccine or anything political, and then I'm sure you experience this too, being censored. It just seems like so many times a warning would pop up or I'd be censored or somebody would report me that I just stopped doing it. And now I've noticed that people are really arguing again about vaccines. Like, it's full on. They're not censoring any of that right now. I'm sure you have been aware of this for a while because you post freely. I don't. Because I don't know, I'm just chicken. I don't like to expose, everything I think to people.
No, and that's probably smart again.
Yeah, the nail that sticks out gets hammered down and all that stuff. And how much are they really surveilling us? What are they looking for? I don't know. But I guess a lot of that surveillance was just algorithm. Like if certain words would pop up, they would just censor it.
Yeah. I once got put in Facebook jail for using the word trick. T-R-I-C.
Trick.
Yep.
T-R-I-C-K?
Yeah, like trick or treat. Trick.
So they thought like it was like sexual or something?
Yep.
Like a trick? Oh my goodness. Yep. That is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is just ridiculous.
So the next Halloween, of course, I said trick or treat, but like I used like hashtag asterisk for I and C,
oh my gosh. No way. Oh my gosh.
I didn't go to jail for that.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's funny. Everybody started using like hashtags and little dashes and stuff to make words kind of into a code so they wouldn't get called out.
It's taking away the algorithm, it's fighting against the algorithm.
Mm-hmm. I also looked up this little thing about seed, cloud seeding. If you want to play it, I can send it to you really quick. It's not long.
I'd love to. I do have to, I'm going to start playing it, but I have to step away. I've got, I have a chicken in the oven that needs to come out in a few minutes. So,
maybe we should do something longer.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm good with that. But the cloud seeding thing is amazing. I actually think I've got a Seeds of Change. Let's see. Audio clip. Cloud seeding.
And also
geoengineering. No. Go ahead.
Well, we could just.
With my heritage,
sorry.
I discovered
that's totally fine. If you've got one
playing a commercial now.
I hate that.
Just sent you two of them. The second one is the short one, but it's also included in the other one. And if you play the other one, it'll just go into the next story. It's redacted. They play some good stuff.
Redacted?
Yeah, not redacted tonight, but redacted. Aww. Clayton Morris.
Okay. I miss Lee Camp.
I think he's back. I've seen him on X.
Oh, have you? Okay. All right, and you sent it in the our Seeds of Change? Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. The second one is longer?
The second one is shorter. It's more concise, but the first one is redacted with Clayton Morris, and then it'll just go into the next story, which will also be interesting, I'm sure. He's talking about Snowden.
There we go.
Oh, you can get your seat.
Oh, it cloud seating, right? Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I think it's right. 5:13.
4 days ago. Let me see, what? 5:13?
5:13, yeah, is the time code.
Oh,
cloud
you want that? Okay.
Cloud seating disaster.
Okay, got it. I'm doing it at 4:56. Okay, here it is.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Cloud lead-in.
Seeding clouds and chemtrails, two different things. One is purportedly supposed to be good, right? The idea that we're going to have rain. The other one is supposed to be bad. It's supposed to stop rain. It's like supposed to stop it, right? That's chemtrails and cause all sorts of sickness for people and really, really awful. But here is just an insight into UAE's cloud seeding program. Yes, this is real.
Just so I know, I have to drive back from all the way to Dubai.
No.
It's not raining. It's a sunny day. The UAE government invested more than $20 million in research in a process called cloud seeding. The UAE performs around 1,000 hours of cloud seeding a year, and it's all controlled by this building in the National Center of Meteorology in Abu Dhabi, where they track the whole process. We met with a cloud seeding expert to explain how the seeding process works.
We wait the forecast. When we have a good, you know, chance for a cloud, we send the aircraft to that location. Go under the cloud. In the first stage of the cloud, there is good updraft at that time. Start to release all the salt, and with the good updraft, of course, it will go inside the cloud. The droplets will become bigger and start to rain.
The sensor manufactures a salt substance that helps enhance rainfall. Put them in what they call clairs.
Yeah. So that's what, you can blame that. And so there, I saw some people online like, come on, you right-wing nut jobs out there. This is not cloud seeding. This is clearly climate change. And then the UAE fires back and actually says, no, yeah, we were cloud seeding. In fact, we confirmed at the Gulf States National Center of Meteorology dispatched seeding planes from Al Ain Airport Monday and Tuesday to take advantage of the cloud formations. The seeding planes have flown 7 missions over the past 2 days. So, yes, this was directly responsible for all of this. Of course, this isn't the first time, by the way.
No.
And it won't be the last. Back in 2016, one day before the worst floods in Tasmania's 40-year history in Tasmania and Australia, a cloud seeding plane was launched and brought devastating rain. Look.
Residents in southern Tasmania are demanding to know why cloud seeding was conducted over the Derwent River catchment the day before the worst floods in 40 years. Cloud seeding is a technique used to increase rain. Hydro Tasmania has confirmed it flew a cloud seeding flight despite the weather warnings. Farmers believe the technique could have made the flooding worse.
Yeah.
The Premier says a formal...
Yeah, it did make it worse.
So, I mean... maybe we should think about that before we do it again. And in fact, there was a man we were watching recently on Tucker Carlson who was talking about all these great innovators in California and said, a lot of these guys, they just want to start a cloud seeding business in California and they don't want this woke politics and things like that. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like,
The cloud seeding. I mean, did you know that we used this in Vietnam to flood enemy trails as warfare?
Yeah.
So this is not a new technology, but yes, it can be used. It can go wrong. You can see. Go ahead, Philip.
Well, this is a process that's been kind of balanced on this planet over the course of millions and billions of years, like hundreds of millions of years, and you're going to start messing with that balance. Like,
right.
That's like absolute hubris, in my opinion. Like that's one of those things I don't like when science gets involved in. Like, no, let's not poke that bear.
Yeah. Hubris is the right word.
So I just wonder, you know, is anyone going to say, oh, sorry, took it too far, right? Because
nope.
People can get hurt. We see that in Dubai, the roads shut down, then no one can get to an ambulance. No one can get to a hospital. These things have major consequences. We will see something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So one more thing we'd like to tell you.
You want to keep going?
Well, we could do either. Probably covered it. We could see if they say anything else that's interesting.
Did you, were you here when I played this, there's this clip from like PBS, like NPR in San Diego about the Rain Man?
Mm-mm.
Okay, all right. This is not what you think it is. NPR. There we go. So the title of this is, in 1915, San Diego hired a rainmaker and floods ensued.
Whoa.
Are you interested? It's not that long.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, awesome. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Maybe when I was born, God whispered a special word in my ear. Maybe he said, Bill Starbuck, you ain't gonna have much in this world. You ain't gonna have no money, no fancy spurs, no white horse with a golden saddle. But Bill Starbuck...
Can we just say Bill Starbuck again? Like,
is this the play, the Rainmaker?
Yes!
Yeah, I know this play. I've seen a production of it.
Okay.
Wherever you go, you bring rain. That's my one and only blessing.
Burt Lancaster, starring as the Rainmaker in the 1956 film of the same name. Did you know it was said to be inspired by a real-life rainmaker who came to San Diego in late 1915 during a terrible drought then? His name was Charles Hatfield, and some say he delivered on his promise to fill San Diego's empty reservoirs, but it was disastrous. We're visiting KPBS in San Diego, so we dropped by the San Diego Central Library, which has a terrific new display about Hatfield. We have a slideshow at HereNow.com. And we asked Rick Crawford, supervisor of special projects, who was Charles Hatfield?
Hatfield was considered a rainmaker today, but his original profession was a sewing machine salesman. He came out here with his family in the late 1800s, and he began selling sewing machines as a profession. But he was fascinated for some reason, we don't know exactly why, but he was interested in rainmaking. He wasn't the only person that did this. There were people around the country that were interested in doing this. And in California, you had a ready market for this because we've never had enough rain. We've never had enough rain in the right places. And so he was inspired to do that. He felt or convinced people that he had the methods, the means of creating rain. When clouds appeared, he could produce rain from clouds.
Well, he was called the moisture accelerator, right?
That's what he called himself. Yeah. That's the title he preferred.
And we're seeing all these pictures here. It looks like a young Charles Hatfield. Looks like he's experimenting with different chemicals in a lab over here. Did he actually use chemicals?
He did use chemicals. This is a posed picture that he created or had created. And we don't know exactly what chemicals he was using. And his technique usually would be he built a tower, a 20-foot tower in the area.
He
would go up to the top of his tower and he would burn these chemicals. Some witnesses claimed they saw him shooting chemicals into the air somehow, like bombs. In any case, there would be fumes, there would be smoke, there would be something that would ascend into the clouds and supposedly induce the rain to come down.
Well,
something.
Take us to 1915 and this time in San Diego when he came to San Diego with the proposition that he bring rain to what? Was it a drought like today?
It was very much like today. We were in our fourth year of drought, or appeared to be going into our fourth year of drought. And at that time, the population of San Diego was quite small, but all of our water had to be produced locally. We had no Colorado River water. We had no water from Northern California. So we had some dams. And so we relied on the rain to fill these reservoirs. That was our supply. In addition, there was some small valley in different places, but without the reservoir water, we were in trouble. And the city council met with Charles Hatfield, and he offered to fill Lake Morena, which was our primary reservoir at the time, and he would do it for $10,000.
So there was no contract, we understand, but the city council said yes.
There was a vote 4-1 to accept this offer. No written contract at all. This is a verbal handshake deal. Hatfield believed he had a contract, a valid contract, and he went out there with his brother to do his job.
Built the tower, did whatever he does, and it rained.
Started raining on January 10th, and it pretty much didn't stop for the whole month. There were a day or two when it didn't rain, but we had two huge storms that lasted quite a while. We ended up with about 30 inches of rain in the backcountry. Not that much downtown, but 30 inches of rain for San Diego County within a month is quite a bit of rain, and we were not prepared for it. So there was a great deal of flooding. One dam was destroyed. There was damage to others. A lot of property damage, a lot of death.
This was astonishing. Suddenly, I mean, the clouds opened up. How many people died?
We don't know exactly. The estimates range from 14 to 50. It wiped out a farming community near Tijuana. That little Landers farming community was totally wiped away. Bridges were washed out, roads, railroad tracks, awful lot of destruction.
I think you have a picture down here, too, but talking about the fear when it was thought that the dam was going to go. Let's see. What was the dam?
We had Lake Moreno was our primary supplier, and that's about 60 miles east of San Diego. And through conduits and pipelines, that flows downstream and then comes to San Diego. Well, it overflowed Morena and overflowed Lower Otay much further downstream and eventually blew out Lower Otay entirely.
I'm reading over here some, you've got posted accounts from the time, and here's something from Engineering News in 1916. At 5.05 p.m., the tension was so great that the steel diaphragm tore from the top of the center and the dam opened outward like a pair of gates. A huge wall of water, described variously as from 6 to 20 feet high, rushed down the valley, covering the distance from the dam site to Palm City about 10 miles in 48 minutes, carrying all before it.
And that break in the dam, that totally destroyed the dam. That was the biggest damage that we had. And that wiped out the farming communities in the Tijuana Valley and lower San Diego. We also had a lot of flooding in Mission Valley. For a time, we had no communication with outside of San Diego. You had to communicate with us by boat because the railroads were gone. The roads were all washed out.
Amazing. So when this happened, did everyone immediately think, oh, my God, it was him? I mean, is it assumed that he made it rain?
It's difficult to know what the common person thought about that. As I said, rainmakers were common. People did believe in this. And people might have regarded it just coincidental, but he had done his work. He certainly believed that he had produced the rain. And he went to city council after it was all over and demanded his money. He said, no, this is an act of God. He said, no, this is an act of Hatfield.
Well, and then they also said, well, if it's an act of Hatfield, then you have to pay us, what, something like $3 million in damages, which at the time...
Right. The estimate of damage was $3.5 million, and they offered to pay us $10,000 if he would pay us $3.5 million. That obviously didn't happen.
So eventually, in 1956, the movie's made, The Rainmaker, starring Burt Lancaster. But is that the Charles Hatfield story?
No, that's not the Charles Hatfield story. There is similarities, of course, the title primarily, but the rainmaker in that story is in a different part of the country, different story entirely. But it was certainly inspired by what happened here in 1916.
So what is the legacy of Charles Hatfield? I mean, I've read that his seeding efforts, this shooting chemicals in the air, was part of the birth of modern-day cloud seeding, which is a legitimate enterprise. On the other hand,
is it a legitimate enterprise?
He could have been a complete lunatic who didn't know what he was doing and killed people, or it could have been a coincidence.
Well, he was interested in science. We have some of his books over here. He was interested in meteorology, so he had some rudimentary scientific knowledge about clouds. So what we call cloud seeding today may have been similar to what he was doing back then. Today we drop seeding from planes. We do it a different way. And it's hard to imagine what he was doing from a 20-foot tower was going to accomplish what he said it accomplished. We don't know if he believed he was doing it or whether he knew he was a huckster. You know, it's not something that we really know. One thing we do know is after the flood, in spite of all the damage, people outside of San Diego believe that he had been doing the job of producing the rain because he got a lot of jobs out of this. He worked elsewhere and got a lot of contracts.
And what's the maybe lesson for today? Is cloud seeding something? We don't think we've even read about cloud seeding here in California in the current
drought. I haven't read about it.
I don't think cloud seeding, as I understand it, really is going to accomplish too much more than producing rain from the clouds overhead. They're going to drop the rain here or elsewhere. If you cloud seed them, it may produce rain right there. does that increase the overall supply of moisture on the ground? I don't think it does. I think that's been the problem over the years. Unless they can produce clouds of rain, it's not going to do much.
Rick, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Bye. All right. Goodbye. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks so much. Of San Diego.
Whoa. When is that from?
That is from... Go back. 2015. June 2nd, 2015.
Hmm.
So maybe for the anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Throw the people a little nugget.
Yeah, 100 years
later. You can't
later.
Say we didn't tell you. You can't
yeah, right?
Say we didn't tell you. It's amazing, but it's for good
that's
stuff.
One thing they can never be found guilty of is not informing us. It was part of their rules is that they had to tell us, and they tell us in so many ways, in so many places, you know. So
yeah,
they definitely tell us.
Oh, yes. I thought. Well, do you have as part of your lineup of sound bites? Do you have the one where the CIA or ex-CIA is talking about placing stories in the media? I just saw that when I was going through my bookmarks on X. I saw Edward Snowden posted that. It's so fabulous.
Totally, we can. I thought you were going to ask, because I do have you seen that or heard that Ginger Z geoengineering or Brennan talking about geoengineering?
Ew, no. What did she say about it?
Okay, it's pretty quick. 3, 2, 1.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community. On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations. Others might seize on SAI's benefits.
Wow.
And people are like, I don't trust Brennan. Okay, well, when he tells you the truth, you know, you probably should listen.
You sure liked him when he was telling you to support Ukraine.
Right?
Or when he was telling you that Donald Trump is, like, horrible. I'm going to lead us into nuclear war.
Right. I have one that's only another 4 minutes, but this is like a local news station talking about about geoengineering, about cloud seeding and how it, this was just a few months ago on like Good Morning America or something. So,
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Now, with our network-wide focus on the power of water, just this week, a stretch of the Colorado River was named the most endangered river in the United States as overuse and climate change threatened this national treasure.
But we are now learning about an innovative practice being used to help combat these effects and give Mother Nature a much-needed boost. ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z has more on that. Take a look. The Colorado River, called the hardest working river in the United States.
I'm going to rewind this a second.
You might want to turn up the volume a little.
I'm trying to, it's like a technology issue. Okay, there we go. Yep, 3, 2, 1.
Now, with our network-wide focus on the power of water, just this week, a stretch of the Colorado River was named the most endangered river in the United States as overuse and climate change threatened this national treasure.
But we are now learning about an innovative practice being used to help combat these effects and give Mother Nature a much-needed boost. ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z has more on that. Take a look.
The Colorado River, called the hardest-working river in the United States, is in danger.
This is due to two causes, reductions in precipitation and increased air temperatures.
The river provides hydropower to seven states, irrigation to more than 5 million acres of farmland, drinking water to 40 million Americans, and of course, the breathtaking Whitewater Rapids running through the Grand Canyon. All of it threatened by more than two decades in a mega drought. We can't just flip a switch like Colonel Joe Moore in Mad Max Fury Road. But we do have a superpower. Straight out of science fiction's X-Men: The Last Stand. It's called weather modification, or cloud seeding.
We can't create the cloud. There has to be an existing storm system.
We just give it a bump.
Yeah.
Garrett Kamens heads up one of the largest cloud seeding companies in the U.S.
Has the desperation in the mega drought made the interest in cloud seeding skyrocket?
Oh, definitely.
There are currently 42 cloud seeding projects across the American West, like this one in Utah, where they take planes like this with flares attached. They fly right into the storm and send microscopic particles into the cloud.
Particles that act like magnets for water droplets, bonding together until they are heavy enough to fall to the ground as rain or snow. At the University of Colorado, researchers are working on artificial intelligence to deploy cloud seeding drones.
And it's not just cloud seeding from the sky. There are hundreds of those things. That shack you see in the foreground is a ground-based cloud seeder. The little flame coming out is sending tiny silver iodide particles up into the sky. When a storm comes through, they go up to 2,000 feet above our head, into the storm, up those mountains, and make more snow than it naturally would.
While cloud seeding has been helping get every last drop out of some of the driest years on record, this past winter, Mother Nature came through. The Southern Rockies, which feed the Colorado River, got more than four times their average snow. But experts say it's still not enough.
As much as cloud seeding is a boost or a help, it's not a solution. The main solution is
conservation.
Cloud seeding is most successful in wet years, so this was a huge winter for them. They actually stopped early because Mother Nature was giving up so much. Now, studies have shown that the environmental impacts from the silver iodide, on the current scale, there are no impacts to snow or rain also downstream, so it doesn't impact, you know, the other weather. They do anticipate at least 200 more ground cloud seeders in the future, and the federal government has committed $2.6 million to seeding. Back to you, Gio and Eva.
Oh, Ginger Z, thank you so much. ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z. Just amazing when you look at the technology, obviously, with cloud seeding, but also the idea that the Colorado River, we're talking about feeding seven states with that power.
Yes, and it gives us so much of our food.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Incredible, incredible.
Well, hey there, GMA fans. Robin Roberts here. Thanks.
No, don't want to hear from them. But
what is that from?
Okay, that was from...
Now, with our network-wide focus on the power of water, just this week, a stretch...
No. Okay. Let me look up. Ginger Z. Geoengineering was from... no, not from... Whoop. Okay, so she was apparently on The View 2 days ago.
Oh.
But the clip I... But the clip I...
The View.
I'm very tempted, but we're... But this, the clip I played was from 1 year ago.
Okay. I'm just trying to think about the precipitation in the Rockies because they were saying it was so much more.
Yeah. I think in July it still had a snowpack.
Well, okay. So I just looked up and I'm sure you're familiar with it, but they said silver iodide was what was being used to do the seeding. So I just did a quick search. Unfortunately, the use of silver iodide has been linked to numerous health risks, including toxicity, reproductive disorders, developmental defects, and cancer. Symptoms of silver iodide toxicity include coughing, wheezing, and difficulty breathing.
Yeah. Still getting over my like 3 bouts of sickness this year.
Yeah, and I was sick this week.
Right.
As well.
Are they seating there?
Probably. I would imagine so.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice, though. It's been a lot of blue skies, but then today was gray. I don't know. It's hard to say. Plus, all the infections going around lately. There's a lot of infections. Let's just say that. And people, they think that it's, like, healthy to, I don't know. There's so many different philosophies out there. But I personally do find it really frustrating when people say there's no such thing as germs, so my kid's just going to go out in public and breathe on you.
Right.
Even though they're
right.
Really sick. Because there's no germs. It's just purging toxins. Okay.
Yeah, there's, yeah, exactly. And, like, I don't know if you've looked into the tooth areas, but it's kind of, like, exhausting for me. Not saying that people have the, it's like a, terrain theory versus like germ theory. Yeah.
It's like, why do they have to be mutually exclusive? Like, can't they both be right? Isn't that
right.
Elements
yeah.
of both are correct? I know a weak immune system, you're going to get sick more. That's the terrain. I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I just know
totally.
If a sick person breathes directly into my face, I get sick. So there's my research, guys. Anyway,
yeah.
I was
right. No,
frustrated.
I totally get it. And especially with you being so involved with the general population. You know what I mean? Like you get very close to children's faces, and it doesn't take a rocket science to know what kids are going to get you sick. You know.
Right.
So I feel your pain, and I've definitely, I don't want to say that I've been like stalking your profiles, but I really, really love your pages and your face painting. And it's so like wonderful.
Aww.
And I'm so glad you're out
Thank
into
you.
The population. Yeah. So whoever is there and, you know, cramping your style, I think that, you're better out in public interacting with children than most people. So however we can make you keep you well, the better.
Oh my gosh. I just got this stuff and I told you about it. It's called Apex Water and it's a, it's colloidal silver, but it's extremely fine, small. I don't know the exact wording, but small particles that are used as an oxygen delivery system. So I'll just read you the bottle.
Yeah.
Because there's my gunk in my throat. But so Apex, anti-pathogen extreme, direct oxygen infusion. Lack of oxygen has been identified key driver in the start and spread of many chronic health disorders. This direct oxygen infusion at the cellular level of active oxygen molecules appears to be safe and effective therapy. I think they have to say that because they don't want to be like, you know, shut down by the FDA or the medical, whatever, pharmaceutical companies. Apex has not been approved by the FDA to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition. I know. I was told about this by an energy doctor who I saw in Boulder, Colorado, Glenn Streeter, and he calls himself sports medicine because he's so paranoid because there was this rash of doctors who were speaking out against curing cancer who were getting, like, unalived for a while there. I don't know if that's still happening, but he was really scared of that, so he didn't like to be very public about what he was doing. But he told me, like, take this every day. And I'd had this persistent sinus infection for at least a month. And I took traditional antibiotics. I couldn't get rid of it. So I used Apex water at night. And in the morning, I used hydrogen water, which he also recommended. And we could talk about that sometime. But this has been so amazing. It also is supposed to be effective against MRSA as well. And I tried this and it works so much better than an antibiotic. It's not cheap, but I really wish more people knew about it.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
I'm sorry, that was my watch. What is my watch is listening to me. Shut up. Did you hear that? It said I didn't get that.
I sure did. Yeah, we did. We heard you. My phone does that to me all the time. I'm like, shut up.
Apple watch.
Stop listening to me. Yep, exactly.
Do you want to play that just for fun, just to share with people, not necessarily to give them a plug as a business, but to just share with people an alternative means of dealing with infection? Because I had the worst actual infection, and it's down to just this kind of like a little bit of symptoms, but it took care of the, not sorry to be gross, but like the colored pus, which would normally diagnose a bacterial infection. This Apex water got rid of it. And
interesting.
So apexwater.com. I'm just going to, yeah, if you just go to apexwater.com and you scroll down and there's this little video, and, you know, I don't know how good this speaker is, but she talks about it. Just would love for people to know about this as a, just for their own sovereignty. I know colloidal silver is great for dealing with infection, and you can buy that. And this is just like one level higher, I think, in my experience.
Yeah, and I'm, okay, well, all right. So you said one down on Google, or
if
are you on Safari?
If you go to apex-water.com.
I don't know if you can hear my dog in the background, but she's chasing rabbits.
I can't. My cat was harassing me earlier. I tried to get her to be quiet. I just sent you the link if you want to.
I'm going there now.
Get that.
Oh,
There's
got it.
So
okay,
many
here we go.
Good people.
Totally. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Hi, everyone. My name is Victoria, and I'm with Apex Water Research Institute, and I wanted to do a short video today to answer some of the questions that I get speaking with folks every day on the phone about Apex, as well as provide a short introduction to Apex Water for those of you who may be new to Apex. Apex is an oxygen delivery system that delivers oxygen at the cellular level to pathogenic cells, reversing a condition called hypoxemia, which is low oxygen in the blood, that can cause a condition called hypoxia, which is low oxygen in the tissues.
Which is done by masks, too, by the way. That masks cause hypoxia. So here we go, 3, 2, 1.
So a pathogenic cell can be a parasite, a bad bacteria, a virus, or a fungus. And those cells have two things in common that we talk about. Number one, that cell thrives in a low oxygen environment. It is hypoxic by definition. And number two, it carries a positive electrical charge. Apex is simply a negatively charged cluster of oxygen molecules. So you have your positively charged pathogenic cell and your negatively charged cluster of oxygen molecules in Apex. They're pulled together like north and south poles of a magnet. And when that oxygen cluster passes through that pathogenic cell membrane, that pathogenic cell just pops open and that debris excretes naturally from the system. And the oxygen cluster then continues on to the next pathogen. And that lasts about 24 hours in your system, which is why we use the water every day. So in addition to drinking Apex, if we can get the water to make direct contact with the affected area, we do that as well. So, for example, we can nebulize it into the lungs for asthma or other respiratory issues. We can nebulize it through the nose to the brain for neurological issues. We can use it as an enema or a douche We can put it in the eyes, nose, ears, use it on the skin for different skin conditions. So there are many, many different ways to use Apex water. And I did want to note that Apex does not disturb the healthy cells or the healthy mouth and gut bacteria and flora, because those cells and that bacteria, those are negatively charged. So negative repels negative, and positive pulls in negative.
Aww,
so I want to just be really clear that Apex does not.
Do you want to do the whole thing, or is that enough?
That's good. People can look it up if they want to. I just wanted to share that there are alternatives to conventional medicine, especially as conventional medicine gets more and more questionable.
Totally.
And I think we all felt like, what's going on? When every time you go to the doctor for this, that, or the other, they say, well, have you been vaccinated? I mean,
yeah, right?
Everybody's doing it. So
it's more interesting when they ask you before you give your concern. You know, like that's what goes on with me. Mm-hmm. It's like anytime I call a physician of any kind, a healthcare provider, they're like, oh, okay, all right. Have you been vaccinated? What's your weight? What's your blood pressure? What's your glucose? All that stuff. And, you know, and have you been vaccinated mm-hmm. before you can even ask your question?
And then you can say, well, do you mean actual vaccine or do you mean gene therapy? Which
right.
are we talking about here?
Right. Exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like thing, like little things that are cropping up like that, you know, in our society. Fortunately, like the vaccine cards are kind of gone, but
the
I think we know that
card, like to
yeah.
go to the theater or something, or to intern,
yep.
like travel and stuff like that and
right.
work.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, just so everybody knows, I did recently receive a passport and I was not asked about my vaccine status on my passport application. It wasn't a renewal. It was the first time. I had to even send in my birth certificate. I was like, oh, it's my only copy. I hope I get it back, you know, with the government. But this was a first time passport application and nobody, well after all of the vaccine card craze, and I was not asked if I was vaccinated for a passport.
Cool.
So that's a little hope.
Well, that's great. It kind of begs the question, okay, so what's coming down the pipeline next?
Oh,
if,
real ID.
They're not pushing this anymore, what's the next fun thing they have in store for us?
Well, and I think honestly, and this is like totally a shame, but I think a passport is so expensive that they know most people can't really afford one, to be honest, if they don't already have one. A renewal mm-hmm. is easy, but the first one is, I want to say in California, it was close to $300.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well,
with all
now,
the stuff.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying with all the stuff associated with it, you know, the picture, the, you know, the meeting with the, anyway, but $300 out the door, I would say, for not even an expedited passport. It's like $600 if it's expedited. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. They're making it harder and harder for people to do what they want to do.
To leave the country.
Be spontaneous. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, boy, those revelations about Boeing. Well, first of all, the first whistleblower getting suicided.
Whacked.
And now this other guy coming forward, Sam Salapour, tells Congress that 787s should be grounded. And that's crazy.
This is how
Boeing whistleblower tells Holly planes aren't safe and he's being targeted by execs.
Oh my God.
That will also make you maybe not want to travel as much. As well as now we don't have to get vaccinated, but you might have your plane falling apart.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't really want to fly commercially because of the Boeing technicalities. Did you hear this week that Boeing is starting a car company?
Whoa! No.
Yeah. Please, maybe this was a dream. Let me look it up.
They'll have to call it something else, otherwise no one will buy it. It's kind of like when
the
they rebranded GMO food.
Probably ruin it.
Gosh.
There it is. Boeing flying cars targeted 30.
Flying cars?
There it is.
Who's saying that? Is this a real news?
Let's see. I mean, these
are at the Jetsons level, finally, flying cars.
His boy, Elmo.
I thought it was his boy, Elroy.
Is it Elmo or Elroy? It's probably Elroy.
I think it rhymes.
I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention too much, thank God, back then. News. QZ. I don't know. Like, there's not really, like, Nikea. There's a whole like, please look it up on your Google.
Okay, I'll look it up. It's like regular cars aren't bad enough. Now we're going to fly. They trust people to fly their cars.
No. Yeah, by 2030.
Inside the World of Flying Cars 2 days ago on CNBC. Okay.
Jesus Christ. I was hoping I was with a dream.
You hoping you dream this? Here it is. What if flying around in an electric vehicle is a key part of the way you travel in the future? That's what dozens of companies around the world are betting on. EVTOLs, or electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles, popularly known as flying cars or air taxis, are being developed by firms in the U.S. to Europe and Asia. The eVTOL, whatever, EVTOL market could be worth $1 trillion by 2040, according to J.P. Morgan. The several, of course, all they're talking about is the money they want to make. What the? So are these going to be, like, controlled, kind of like, would you be in charge of flying them?
No. If you say something wrong on Facebook, you're not able to be a Jetson for a day. So.
Nice.
There it is. It's the Jetson, you know. And even the opening intro, like, he loses power and does, like, a loop-de-loop.
That's right. They're talking on Zoom, right? They're in their house talking to a screen.
Yeah.
That's what I remember from that opening of the Jetsons. Here it is. The multi-copter operates like a standard drone. It has multiple propellers that help it fly. They are very efficient during takeoff, landing, and while hovering, but because they don't have wings, they're incredibly inefficient at going long distances. They could be useful in urban areas. The lift and cruise concept merges the multi-copter with common aircraft technology like wings, making longer distances possible. But to get to the technologies to work together, the propeller needs fewer and shorter blades, making it very noisy. That'd be pleasant. Drones, so somebody else is operating it, I take it.
Yeah.
Would you say that? Is that what you heard?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm scrolling through.
Yeah, but somebody's definitely controlling it. Like, this is, what we talk about as government interference isn't even fully implemented, right? Like, they're going to turn off our stove, right? That's why they want to, the Dems really want to turn off gas stoves, right? They want to do all electric. They want to do all electric when it comes to cars. Because if you fuck up in some way, shape, or form, they want to be able to turn off your fucking car.
Right. And they're going to be able to turn off your currency, too, I've heard.
Yes.
Well,
freedom
here you
of
go.
Movement.
Customers.
Yep.
Sorry. I was just going to tell you that if you want to, you can pay $150 deposit to pre-order the car known as Model A, which has a price tag of $300,000. What a bargain.
Versus Model
$150? T. Where do I sign up?
Yeah, right? You'll own nothing and be happy. That's really what's going on.
Get your gardens ready.
Exactly. Can we talk just for a second about the internet saying that Schwab died?
Yeah, what's that about? He went to the hospital?
That's what everybody's like, no, he's healthy, he's fit, right? Like the conspiracy theorists were like, I think there's something wrong with him. He's dead, he's this, he's that. And then, of course, mm-hmm. like all of the mainstream media is like, no conspiracy theorists. This might be the quickest uh-huh. turnaround time in history, right, of conspiracy
yeah.
theorists, you know, being true. We'll see. You know, I've got mm-hmm. I've got a couple of screenshots, so we'll see. Hopefully he's not dead, but he might be dead.
I don't think he is, but the power just goes to his family, is what I've just been hearing this week.
True.
So. They still own the World Economic Forum.
Oh, because they have
kids are into it.
Yeah, they have a trust. It's public law versus private law. I'm sure that family has control via trust. That's private
yeah.
law. That's, public law says
yeah,
you guys aren't going to own shit.
Right. I just saw another thing. I didn't watch all that much news this week because I was sick. I was just kind of out of it. But
yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Redacted did do a good little thing. I am. I feel like it wants to come back, but if I let it slip, it just starts coming back. If I stop doing remedies or if I eat some sugar, it's exhausting. It takes a lot.
That makes sense.
Get over these probably bioengineered stuff out there.
Totally, totally. And just even this morning, like it's been weeks now, like since that camping trip. Then I had COVID
mm-hmm.
before that, but like it's been kind of like this, like wave of sickness. And even today, I'm well over it. We did the show last week. If I wasn't over it, I wouldn't have done the show. But like even this today, I. This morning when I woke up, I like coughed up phlegm. Sorry to be, you know, gross.
No,
but like,
I've been on the phlegm patrol trying to see, am I over it? Am I over it? And yeah, it keeps reoccurring.
Yeah. It's like a cycle, you know, it keeps going,
mm-hmm.
but I'm definitely on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I trusted my immune system this time, but I totally know what you mean. I think that there's maybe something that's falling from the sky that's we both
maybe.
Live in blue states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is pretty weird how we get these, you know, infections and flus every year. And I don't know, like I had a doctor who said they come from Asia because people have their animals inside. But doesn't that just seem weird? I don't understand. Why would we keep getting these infections from overseas?
Seems like a black plague kind of like rationale. Like the black plague, mm-hmm. When it was cold, the rats went inside, you know? But really, our flus come from pig farmers, and it's very possible that these pig farmers keep their livestock indoors during the winter because they would die outside.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of seems relevant to that
yeah.
rationale.
Seems
but
like if you're so poor that your animals are coming inside your house, how would you be sending your sickness overseas, you probably are not going to be traveling much. What do I know?
Correct. And that's why, you know, even like CVS pharmacy reps have to say, well, it has to do with the pig virus that is most prevalent among pig farmers, you know, poor pig farmers in China, right? But that's why I have a big problem with COVID being blamed on a wet market in Wuhan. Like, we're talking about some of the poorest people in the world, you know, having to eat bats, right? And you're going to blame
bats. They don't eat bats. They're not even
unless they're very, very desperate. They don't eat bats unless they're very, And so I took great offense to the establishment saying it was this, you know, this Wuhan wet market that created this world pandemic. So again, you know, instead of blaming what you know happened, we know,
right?
We know what happened. So instead of blaming what
people.
We know. Yeah, we're going to blame it on the poorest people in the fucking world. That's what we're going to do. Sorry, we should not cuss on the show, but I can't sometimes.
Stop cussing. It's hurting my feelings.
I'm just saying, like, that was my big problem with it, is that we're going to blame again the poorest people in the world on the global pandemic. So F that.
Yeah, F that. You know what was kind of interesting? Just, well, we're starting to get low on time. I can't believe it. But speaking of this war on people's health, I'll just use some hyperbole because why not? And this whole thing with Andrew Huberman, like, being smeared as a whore and a philanderer.
I have not even seen that.
Oh, my gosh. He's like the guru who tells you, go to bed early, get up with the sun, because that helps your circadian rhythm, so you're healthier. He's that guy, and now they're just trying to make us not like him because he sleeps around or whatever.
Oh, good Lord. But when does he
anything
sleep?
They can
I think
do.
It's the most important thing.
What's that?
I said, but when does he sleep? That's the most important thing.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I was using the euphemism for whoring around.
Yeah, but
sleeping around.
Perfect. Pun totally intended. But if he sleeps, you know.
So he has the energy to do it because he's following these health protocols.
Uh-huh.
But now they're saying that the accuser who stepped forward also is has a fraud lawsuit on her plate. I looked this up
a
minute
shocked.
Ago.
I know you can't see my face, but I'm really shocked.
I'm sure. Like, who would smear somebody trying to help people be healthy? It's just like, who cares, right? Who cares? He wants to do that. Okay, here it is. Joe Rogan, in conversation with Andrew Schultz on his podcast, revealed that the woman who accused Andrew Huberman of multiple affairs, quote unquote, euphemism, is under investigation by the DOJ for fraud. Surprisingly, this crucial detail was omitted from the initial hit piece. Rogan also suggested that this may have been the reason Huberman broke up with her. And that's kind of funny. Anyway.
No, totally, yeah. I kind of make fun of my husband, like, a little bit for the people that he follows. I can't remember this guy's YouTube channel, but he really reinforces intermittent fasting, right? Not even talking about bedtime, you know, but, like, you know, and I keep saying, you know, and he's honestly,
like biohack.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, intermittent fasting. And I was like, you can't listen. Totally kidding. But you can't listen to this guy. He can't even grow hair because he's bald. But, you know, like, how are you? No, but he's lost like 25, close to 30 pounds by just intermittent fasting, you know, and
your
cutting out.
Husband or this guy on YouTube? Oh, wow.
The guy on YouTube who's bald, who I told my husband he shouldn't listen to. He lost about almost 30 pounds. So my daughter too,
wow.
Like not that much, but you know, like cutting out go ahead.
Oh, just intermittent fasting really helps with autophagy. So your body gets rid of the zombie cells. And so you're
totally.
Overall healthier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
and of course,
we have a lot of great things available.
What's
ahead,
the latest
sorry.
Thing, though, that the mainstream media is blaming on heart disease and heart attacks is intermittent fasting. Yeah, intermittent fasting. That's old news. Yeah, they're talking about
right.
intermittent fasting. Yes.
I remember that.
It's
yeah,
just
I wanted
coming
to
up?
Talk about that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, this show's a little wild. So, sorry about that.
No problem. No, it's hard to plan sometimes what you want to talk about because we haven't been able to get on air every time. And we've had, like, changing people on air. But, like, yeah, I want to look up intermittent fasting, heart disease, because I remember I follow this lady, Dr. Mindy Peltz, who's like really a huge fasting guru. Like that's her mission in life is to spread knowledge about fasting and the health benefits. And I want to see what she says about this. Intermittent fasting, heart disease. Sorry.
No, no problem at all. We're wrapping up, you know. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because we all know that there's so many contributing factors to heart disease and getting healthy is probably not the main one, but we never talk about the main ones. We also want to talk, like, if we want to talk about cancer, right? And the fact that
mm-hmm.
the United States has banned high-dose vitamin C treatments as a cancer treatment. Like, there's so much, like, behind the scenes going on that we all know that we all need to kind of face up to.
Yeah. Well, in the toxins in our food, GMOs, now we've got
mm-hmm.
turbo cancers supposedly coming from the gene therapy.
Yep.
Here's Dr. Mindy Peltz says February 13th that the New England Journal of Medicine found that intermittent fasting is specifically beneficial for cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, neurological disorders, and obesity. That's coming from the New England Journal of Medicine. This, you know, she's quoting it this year.
There you go.
Meta's study concludes by saying that every doctor should be using intermittent fasting as the first line of defense against these chronic diseases. Intermittent fasting is a quick solution that doesn't cost any money. You can implement it daily to keep your immune system at its best by making sure you are keeping inflammation down and regulating blood sugar. This is crazy. Talk about just making stuff up. I wish we had more time. I really wanted to share this thing from the CIA, that how they plant stories, but we can do that another time.
Let's make that your opening piece for next week.
Yes.
That sounds please,
good.
Yeah, because that's so important.
Yeah. Everyone should be aware. Everyone should listen to what they hear with a skeptical mind. At least with some critical thinking, knowing that they're being indoctrinated by a lot of these sources.
Absolutely. I wish Ty could have made it this week. Not that, like, I actually have to go back and tell my mom earlier, like, when I was like, you were a little shaky at the beginning. I wasn't saying that she was wrong. She was just not good news oriented, right? But, you know.
Well, sometimes you got to take the good with the bad. You know, sometimes the good news is just awareness. Like, okay, well, we have to be aware that they're taking away our, you know, privacy rights. like this new FISA thing that was renewed.
Not new, right?
Right. It was the old one. It expired and they renewed it, continuing to spy on us without a warrant.
And just under the guise of terrorism. And terrorism is whatever they deem it to be.
And they're fomenting the terrorism, kind of right?
For sure. Yes.
So the FBI, foment all these different terrorist plots. They create ISIS. They incubate, white nationalism abroad, like in Ukraine. And then they say, we got to defend ourselves against terrorists. So here you go, guys. We're going to monitor you. So they're kind of the self-licking lollipop.
Yes.
Or ice totally cream cone. Is that what it is?
I think it's ice cream cone.
Yeah.
But yes, I think so.
That's an important distinction.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's the same thing. but totally. And so I think it's like, you know, awake people who understand what's going on. It's kind of our responsibility to do everything that we can to free ourselves from the current system. And
yes.
And I think with just the remaining minutes that we have, I think it's important to reinforce that point, is that there's a lot of people who are still waking up. And sometimes when you wake up, you're angry.
As we were talking, I was just thinking, we have such reservoir of resources inside of us and as community and just the earth. And we have everything we need. We don't how to live and monitoring us and telling us that we don't have power. There's so many powers that we have that we don't cultivate. And part of that is just loving each other. And like you were saying, with wet nurses, like, you don't need it. Who cares if there's a baby formula shortage? It's probably all GMO soy anyway.
Exactly.
If we had real community, we could rely on each other for somebody who's already nursing their children to help your child if you didn't have breast milk.
Exactly. So are we saying that we are lesser off than we were in the Dark Ages? Is that what we're saying? Like that's
kind of,
really
We've been hornswoggled. We've been fooled into thinking we don't have any personal power or resources.
For sure. You know, and so it's very profound, you know, and it's very like, I hope that, you know, I feel like sometimes society tries to diminish women's roles in the fix, you know, in the change that we want to be, right? But in things like baby formula shortages, I think that women are going to be our saviors, like literally the saviors of our children, of our species, right? When we've got, we just hit 60 seconds, but like I said, when we've got the media telling us that a baby formula shortage means that there's going to be dead babies, I would really hope that women could step up to the mark. And make this be an empowering moment in our human civilization. So, with that, I love you all. And please share this if you can. And we will talk to you next week.
Yeah. Keep listening. Love you guys. Thank you so much, Danielle.
Bye.
Bye.